It's not a very good rate, but you know, you still get some money for it.
But most most places you can't have more than a wash. The other thing, and this is, you know, I'm so leery of hydrocarbons, and I'm so tired of the 19th century hydrocarbon model that it's kind of hard for me to stomach. But the fact of the matter is, the best way to get coal out of this process, and understanding that we're talking about devils of comparative degrees of devilishness, I suppose, is natural gas, and we have tremendous reserves of it, and there are different ways of dealing with the waste products. Such that it can be recovered much more cleanly than any coal can. And, again, it's one of those regulatory fixes that would be relatively simple. The only reason companies prefer to burn coal is that it is given preference administratively in terms of how it's purchased over natural gas. You fix that, natural gas usage... Oh, dear. Missing a knob. Well, so much for the well howdy and all of that stuff. It's been a day. That's all I can say. It's been a day. That Microsoft was not in jive with the real universal time. So, hi, everybody. My apologies. Sitting there blathering away. Didn't have one of the important knobs turned up. Yeah, throw the third switch. Yeah, the third switch, Bob. You know, there really are about... There's this little routine of things that have to happen in order for the show to happen. And if you drop a stitch, if you knit one but you don't purl two, no show. But anyway, the clock on the wall is attuned to the decay of some radioactive isotope somewhere and monitored in Fort Collins, Colorado or something. And it really, that clock on the wall really knows what time it is, but it's at a 90-degree angle from where I'm sitting. So I guess, gee, guys, I'm sorry. I guess what I'm going to have to do is Ringo, George, and Paul are going to have the wonderful photograph from Billy Shears from like 1962. They're going to have to slide a little bit to the left, and Patterson, Hood, and Cooley are going to have to slide a little bit to the right to make room for the clock so I can just look up and see it, because I can't rely on Microsoft. Yes, thank you, Lottie. Cesium. Cesium is the radioactive isotope that decays that tells us what time it is. Which reminds me, I don't know if it's actually accessible, and Lottie will know in a minute that we'll have to do something to make it so. But with the Thanksgiving holiday approaching, and just a little program reminder, we won't be here Thursday or Friday because, you know, it's we gather together to eat the dry turkey, to gag on the stuffing that Bob has just made. You know, that one. But it is the Thanksgiving holiday weekend and a long weekend coming. And to any of you who have not tried it, I tried it for the first time last year, and it was absolutely magnificent. If Lottie doesn't mind, we'll try to make some way or another his from-scratch recipe for the most wonderful sweet potato pie you have ever eaten in your life available. As I recall, it is... It's flavored with brandy and it's rich and this year, and you might be surprised, but there was a little controversy involved because in describing this in an email I said, you know, and this year I'm going to use white sweet potatoes instead of the orange ones because the white ones are a little less pulpy, a little less thready. White sweet potatoes, yes, white sweet potatoes, and I imagine they are going to be absolutely beautiful. Lottie has a recipe for a magnificent sweet potato pie, and if you're going to do anything from scratch this Thanksgiving holiday, and I know most of us will do something from scratch, try this recipe. It is, oh, what a pie it is. Oh, my God, what a pie it is. And it sets up so beautiful and just... You know, it's like a cross between a custard and then the substance of the sweet potatoes. And, oh, I mean, you know, I know you got to have your pumpkin pie, and we're going to have our pumpkin pie, too. I've got two deep dish shells for Lottie's sweet potato pie, and I got two deep dish shells for pumpkin pie. And, yes, there's going to be a cheesecake. At something like 7 o'clock this morning, for a variety of reasons, I was out way before I'm supposed to even be up. I work nights, you know. But anyway, I was out and about, and I called back to the house, and Agnes answered the phone. I said, "Honey, do we still have those two boxes of graham crackers that I brought in the other day?" "Oh, no, honey, those were eaten days ago. I only brought them in days ago. They barely touched the floor." You know, like when you set the bags down. It's not quite that wild around here where you just open a box of graham crackers and fling them in the door on the floor and watch the ravenous heathens just, it's not quite like gremlins and feeding them after midnight, but let's not say that there isn't at least a little bit of a resemblance. But anyway, so I called her and, no, honey, those just, no. So I said, okay, I'm buying two more boxes of graham crackers and tell them I will personally gnaw off the thumbs of anybody I catch in them. Tell them it's, you know, leave the graham crackers alone or Daddy doesn't make cheesecake. Because our eldest and her husband and the two little pumpkins are going to be with us. And from long, long ago, somehow or another, for holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter days the days that end in Y. Not anything is an excuse for me to make a cheesecake for our eldest. And so that's you know, we're working backwards. That's the menu. It'll be Lottie's sweet potato pie, which has become a fixture, and then pumpkin pie and a cheesecake. Those are the desserts. And you know, didn't we have a discussion last year about me being some sort of hidebound traditionalist? Because, to the extent that I can justify Thanksgiving, knowing as I do what really happened to the native population of this continent. Oh Lord, we give thanks, and the fact that Governor Bradford's Thanksgiving Declaration of 16, God knows when, specifically gave thanks unto Almighty God for delivering the heathen savages into our hands that we might lay waste about them and slaughter them because they are heathens and going to hell. Despite, you know, notwithstanding all of that, I probably get as much fun out of making the Thanksgiving Day feast as I did. Because Thanksgiving Day feast is the turkey, and Christmas Day feast is the standing rib roast once a year. It's once a year. And then Easter we try to do some lamb barbecue on the 4th of July. But there's something about making the Thanksgiving Day feast that's particularly gratifying. Because that's, you know, that's also the day that I make my dressing, and the dressing is from my mother's recipe, and my mother's dressing was just wonderful. And damned if I didn't forget to buy the celery today. Everything else I have. I've even got the sage, but I don't have the celery. So back we go. Well, bless my soul. But that's okay. We'll be all right. So that's, you know, that's where all of that is. We've got a turkey that hopefully will be thawed out by Thursday morning. I've yet got bread to bake for the dressing. I had another good idea, just a little email exchange with David from Tennessee talking about dressing. And by the way, we call it dressing around here, not stuffing, because there ain't no way I'm going to put that delightful stuff inside that turkey. We bake it separately. We use broth, but we bake it separately. Oh, forgot the chicken broth, too. I have no business going shopping when it's, 7 o'clock in the morning, and I'm just trying to catch everything on the fly. So let's see. Let me get the pen out. The celery and what did I just say? Okay. But anyway, a little discussion about dressing and so forth. Broth. Yes, broth. Talking about, you know, what, because cornbread's part of it too. And in this email exchange, it occurred to me that you might get a little ahead of the game on the flavoring bill by making the corn, because it's not unusual. In fact, I think I recall horn psychotherapist Rick Goodner once mentioning, you know, his cornbread has chilies in it, you know, jalapenos and some fresh corn and onions and stuff like that. I got to thinking about, why not get a little bit ahead of the game and mince some garlic and some onions and, yeah, maybe some jalapenos into the cornbread itself, bake the cornbread that way, let it sit up, let it sit out, and then grind it up for the dressing. Ooh, I think I just made my mouth water. Yep. I mean, come on, if Flush Flemball can lurch and lisp and slur and hiccup and burp and all the crap he does behind the microphone, I can smack my chops just a little bit when I start salivating about Thanksgiving Day dinner. Of course, we are in West Virginia, so that whole Christmas story thing with the turkey and Darren McGavin and turkey, and the Bumpuses from West Virginia, whose nine hound dogs rampage through the house and steal the turkey. I guess we're the Bumpuses. Ooh, Bob, walnuts are great with cornbread in a dressing. Yes, 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 yes. So are chestnuts. But not much of a chestnut harvest this year. There's a bunch of chestnut trees down at our property's edge. And usually there's a pretty healthy, amount of chestnuts, but not so much. Not so much this year. So, my mom was fond of oysters in the Thanksgiving Day dressing, but I can't even begin to contemplate the price of oysters right now. No, just can't. So that's, you know, that's you got to start thinking a couple of days in advance. You know, I'll just do a basic French bread for the bread part of the dressing and some biscuits and let them sit out. And because dressing in itself is, well, it's poor people's food, isn't it? It's leftovers. Because long before people actually started baking stuff to go in, the dressing was the bread that was left over that, you know, wasn't much count, and this is how you used it. But, oh, God, it's going to be good. Every year I make it, and I go, why don't I do this more often? And the whole family looks at me and says, hey, Dad, why don't you make dressing more often? And it's like some sort of commercial it's called a stuffing mix. Stovetop stuffing. You ever tasted that stuff? Yuck. But it is yummy, and I often wonder why I don't. And so here we are at another year and me right at that place. You know, I don't know why I make these things. Oh, yeah, sausage in the dressing. Everybody's got their own traditions, and that's a beautiful thing. Sausage in the dressing would be good, too. But no oysters, no sausage. Italian sausage. Whoa. You know, I get the idea that Lottie was raised right. That's an important phrase in the South. He's raised right. I get the idea that he wasn't. My mother puts Italian sausage in the dressing, take the casing off, and then crumble it. Woof. Man. Yeah, you're right, John Fox. We have started off the program. And it's not just food porn. It's Thanksgiving food porn, which is especially good food porn. So theoretically, if I get up and get at it insanely early on Thursday morning, we'll get dinner done right about the time that I should be sitting down and watching Thursday afternoon football. Is there a college game on Thursday? Is it just Detroit and Dallas? I can't recall. There will be some good college football on Friday, though. No getting around that. Friday, that's my beloved Mountaineers coming unglued to against Pitt. And there's a whole backstory on that that doesn't interest anyone but Mountaineer fans, so I'll stay away from it. But the Iron Bowl, Alabama and Auburn, is also on Friday. I will be camped out. I'll be camped out in front of the television for that one. And even though I'm an Alabama alumnus of sorts, I will be screaming War Eagle at the top of my lungs, hoping that the can you imagine a football coach, a college football coach, being worth $4.5 million a year when the professors who actually teach the stuff that students need to get through their lives are lucky in a state like Alabama to bring home 30 a year? Or 25 sometimes, when the graduate assistants who wind up teaching the entry-level classes are making minimum wage, if that, in exchange for tuition and a little bit of cash. Me either. But that's why I'll be rooting for Auburn. Because, you know, they didn't pay $4.5 million to their new head football coach. And if $900,000 or $1 million a year, which is still insane, can beat $4.5 million a year, I'll feel like the widgets and sprockets and gears of the universe are maybe turning just a little bit better, just a little bit more efficiently. Plus, it will then send Alabama into the championship game for the SEC, where I will root for Alabama. Because I'm sorry, I cannot stand Jesus H. Tebow, Pope Urban Meyer, the Florida Gators, And besides, Pope Urban Meyer is going to go to Notre Dame as soon as they fire Charlie Weiss's ass anyway. That's going to be so funny. You know, why should he stay? Is the guy he's had there all 5 years that has carried his butt will be going pro or going to become a missionary or saving the heathens for Jesus or whatever it is Jesus H. Tebow is going to do. And Urban Meyer will bolt for Notre Dame. I hope so. Devoutly to be wished. But anyway, that if Alabama could beat Florida, which they can't because Nick Saban has no clue about the spread offense and will continue. It's like Ted Williams refusing to adjust and hitting away from the Williams shift. He just ain't going to do it. But if Alabama could beat Florida and then go into the mythical national championship game with a loss, while you've got the TCUs and the Boise States on the outside looking in going, hello, it's not like we showed up for 60 minutes a game and knitted, then maybe, as Garrett mentioned on the program last night, maybe, just maybe, at some point in the near future, the whole stinking, rotten, corrupt, dirty, filthy bowl championship series can just collapse. And for those of you who hate college football or sports in general, I apologize. But this is that time of year, and you're going to have to put up with a little bit of that for me, because this is when it starts getting fun. So, playoff. One can hope. I'm hoping this evening we will have some sort of an update on chat room moderator / chat room den mother ELO's condition as she recovers from surgery, otherwise known as the beloved Sue. And if I get that information, or perhaps if if the information is passed to me, or if Laura calls in with an update, you'll hear it at the same time I do. Hint, hint, hint. Okay, cool. What do you mean, Lottie? Oh, geez, I'm so tempted to call in. What? You've been in the chat room almost longer than any other human being on this with this network. You don't have to be tempted. It's not like it's a sin. Pick up the phone, Lottie. It's fine. This additional piece of advisory information from David in South Carolina with regard to cornbread. You must be sure to make enough cornbread because it tends to vanish before it gets crumbled for the dressing. Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I got one square and two round iron skillets, and they all get cornbread made in them. And I have to sit there and make not so veiled threats to make sure that at least 2/3 of that goes into the dressing. It's so funny, you guys, you know the drill. We may never have met each other in person. We may never meet each other in person. But we know the commonalities of family feasts. And yeah, okay, here's the gross part. For some of you gross, I'll take a little wedge of that cornbread myself and I'll sneak off in a corner with a glass of buttermilk. Yeah, I will, because it's wonderful. From Marty, oh, you expect Microsoft to be reliable? Yeah, I know. Did you catch that story recently that Bill Gates may have, well, maybe not Bill Gates personally, but some minion, that Microsoft is considering, not considering, but I think actually doing, that they're in league with Rupert Murdoch now? I mean, honest to God, I read these things, and as a person who tries to pay attention to his world and who understands, I mean, look, nothing happens without a computer here. So we've got to have them. But dear God, one of these days, one of us is going to win the lottery. And Peter Godbold, you've done so much for us over the years, and God, we love you. I hope you'll forgive me when I say that if we ever do win the lottery, I'm either going to finally learn how to use Linux and find a version of it that's comfortable, or I'm going to pay the Apple tax and put everything Apple in here, because I don't see any stories out there about Steve Gates suddenly being possessed by the urge to do business with Rupert Murdoch. It's kind of icky when you pick up the mouse and you go over to do something on your computer and you're thinking, ooh, I'm doing business with Rupert Murdoch. Ooh. I guess the essence of the story is that in order to try to advance its market share in the search engine racket, which Google owns, and in light of the fact that Rupert Murdoch has repeatedly said that he doesn't think it's fair that you and I aren't out here bleeding a pint every time we want some, like we would, but every time someone wants some content off of Fox or God knows whatever, that we don't have to, you know, open our wallets or a vein in order to obtain said content. Well, apparently there's been, you know, one of those marriages made in hell. And in essence, do I have this right? Microsoft is either already paying or will pay Fox to delist all of its content from Google, so that they will only show up in searches with Bing or Bob Hope or whatever Microsoft calls that the icky little search function that they've got now. Does that, I mean, yeah, I guess it's naked, just naked predatory business, and does Macy's tell Gimbels or whatever? There's no Gimbels anymore, is there? But that's just creepy. We will pay. It sounds kind of antitrust, doesn't it? You know, if we had a responsible federal government, maybe we'd get a little, we'd break out a little old school Sherman Act on Microsoft and Fox. And but then again, if we had a responsible federal government, we would repeal the repeal of the media ownership rules that used to didn't allow foreign nationals to own media in the United States. That'd be silly, wouldn't it? Who ever heard of such a crazy thing? Of course we want foreign nationals to own our media here. Especially if they're right-wing foreign nationals who get up and drink baby blood for breakfast every morning like Rupert Murdoch. But anyway, no, if I ever hit the lottery, you know, I'll put the Apple Uniblab 10,000 in here for the production machine, and a Uniblab 10,000 for the streaming machine, and a backup for each one of them, and all of our laptops will be Apple or whatever, and I'll feel a lot better because I won't be doing business with people who do business with Fox. I mean, granted, you know, a sex worker has to go to the grocery store, and, you know, when she buys her celery for her Thanksgiving Day feast, you're doing business with a sex worker, but it's on the grocery end of things. But there's still a certain sort of, you're also doing business with everybody she did business with, because it's the money that she made from the John that she brought to the grocery store with which she purchased the celery that pays your salary that you then go home and you get what I know these chains are fairly attenuated, but they're very real. And frankly, if we paid more attention along the way, I get a feeling that something like most favored nation trading partner status for China would have never happened. Yeah, I know when that happened. Yes, I know that was the Bill Clinton administration. administration. We can just sort of take the Clinton hating as read and move on, if you don't mind. Cindy up in the Great Northwest says, "Well, that's good. That's good news, Bob. Can you imagine a Fox-free Google? I can't wait." But here's the fun part. I mean, apparently it's already in motion, and Microsoft is trying to crush Google. Because Google, you know, they came out and did free online word processing and all the stuff that Microsoft was charging a horse-gagging load of money for with their license fees, and then your machine, and you click the wrong box, and nothing works anymore, and it's only a license. You don't own this. Bastards, that's where all that got started. Yeah, me either, Cindy. I never use Bing or Harry James or any of that. No. So she says, "Did you know that the Gates Foundation is a tax shelter for his kajillions of dollars?" Why, yes. I read David K. Johnston's Perfectly Legal, and that becomes perfectly clear in the first few pages. In order to qualify for tax-exempt status as a not-for-profit bona fide charity, one must use a mere 5% of the money for helping helping the poor or doing charitable work. Of course, the Gates Foundation is offshore like all those other tax cheats. It seems they don't even want 5% to be traceable. And all we can do is muddle along and hope that we're living our moral lives, because they'll come down on us like they'll be on us like a cheap suit if we don't. And we hope to have a happy Thanksgiving holiday and enjoy the turkey and the dressing and the mashed potatoes and the gravy and the cranberry sauce and the sweet potato croquettes and the dressing and the sweet potato pie and the pumpkin pie and the cheesecake. Maybe a little blast of eggnog with a little boost to it here and there. And because of the rules for labeling that the corporate food providers have paid Congress to pass, we see words like distributed by on our turkeys instead of provided by or grown by or raised by or from or right. So while my turkey says distributed by, and it's some outfit maybe in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, or God knows where, it may very well have come from the glorious Hunan people's turkey farm and lead smelting coal colliery, PROC. Or even if not that, maybe it's owned by Smithfield. You know, I picked up one of those butterball turkeys today. It was fresh as opposed to frozen. You can't do turkey curling if you've got a frozen lake or anything, but you know, not with global warming. You can't do turkey curling with a fresh turkey. Where's the fun in that? But anyway, I picked up the fresh turkey. It was $1.50 more a pound than the frozen one was. And it, you know, the pretty label and butterball and everything, but you know, I'm a conscious consumer. I hate that word. And I saw that pretty yellow and blue butterball label, and just before my very eyes, and maybe it was because it was 7 o'clock in the morning and I wasn't fully awake. But I damned if I didn't sit there and watch that butterball label just grow horns and a tail. When I said, "Ha ha ha! See, no, I'm awake. Ah, the sleeper has awakened." And I know that that's no butterball turkey. That's a damnable Smithfield turkey. The same people who brought us the flu. And just the same as Smithfield has great swine-seas of filth and antibiotics and hormones and bits and pieces and parts as parts and poo and whatever. For their massive hog kill facilities, they've got the same damn thing for their turkey kill facilities at the glorious Hunan people's turkey farm and lead smelting coal colliery PROC. It's a tough thing. It's a tough thing, man. When you take the Matrix pill, it is a tough thing. And that's all that movie was about. It was about awareness. Being awake among the sleepwalkers. And really, one of the only goals of the Horn is to provide a meeting and a gathering place for those of us who are awake among the sleepwalkers, so that we can gather and talk and converse and have a conversation slightly more meaningful, he said, after having talked about college sports. Oop. I'm sorry, my hypocrite light's flashing right now. Can somebody turn that off, please? But seriously, that's why we're here. And I hope you will participate in the conversation this evening. You know the number, 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, head on. On your own nickel, it's 304-658-3333. Email rolls into Bob Kincaid, bobkincaid@gmail.com. And hey, if you've never gone to the headonradionetwork.com chat room, why not now? Jump right in. We've got a great little conversational crowd in there. Go in, introduce yourself. We don't bite. And it's a lot of fun. And I monitor the chat room all through the program. It's sort of a maximization, a ramping up of the overall conversation that's behind all of this in the first place. So we'll be back in a couple, and we'll take your calls. Light them up! This is The Horn. I'm Bob. And we'll be back.
Now the big pool inside. Saturday is fun in the
racist. Randy Newman, it's money that matters. And if you can't tell by the signature guitar stylings behind him, that would be the one and only Mark Knopfler. Shall we introduce a bill in Congress replacing the national anthem with that? I mean, that's where we are, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. That song kindly suggested, you might recall, by Reverbo. And spot on for anybody going through a grocery store, for anybody living here in the land of the free and the home of the brave. Spot on. To the phones we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Well, good evening, Bob. How are you?
I am well.
Okay. Just thought I'd call and give you an update on Sue.
Yes, I was hoping we would get the Sue update.
Yeah. It looks like she's going to get to come home tomorrow.
Hooray!
Yeah, I know. If she had to spend Thanksgiving in the hospital, I think she would be a very unhappy camper. So we get a crash course in getting shots. And I'm thinking the medication, I think it's called Lovenex, and it's to help get her INR down to a more normal, manageable level. And she has to do these shots twice a day. So we get to learn how to stick her in the tummy and push the stuff in her belly and watch her belly turn black and blue from shots.
But let's do that at home.
Yeah, let's do it at home. We're cheaper, that's for sure, yeah. So, but yeah, hopefully she'll get to come home tomorrow. If, like I said, if she doesn't, she's not going to be happy.
No. You know, there's a great John Prine song out there called Christmas in Prison. Thanksgiving in the hospital's right up there. Something you don't want to be doing.
Totally sucks, that's for sure. So, but that's the word on Sue. And I wanted to see if anybody seen the commercial that's running on TV for Made in China.
No, I haven't. What's it? Can you recall offhand what it's running on that you've seen it?
Oh, Lordy, I wish I could. It's one of the off channels, and I don't remember which one it was. And it, I was so stupefied by the thing when it started out, and it starts out with showing like a piece of electronics made in China with Microsoft something or other, and then they showed something else made in China with, and then it was like an American type of thing, and the one was a tag in a piece of clothing made in China with French designers. And then it gets to the end of it, and it says, Made in China. I can't remember now. Made in China, and then it says something else. And I'm sitting there watching this, and I'm thinking, you have got to be kidding. It's bad enough you're cramming your merchandise down our throats, now you're sticking in a frickin' commercial. I wish I could remember where I seen it, because I don't want to see it again.
Well, I will keep, I'll keep an eye out for it.
I want to say something like CNN, but I'm not sure that it was CNN. Chicken Noodle News. But it's like, oh my God.
So it's sort of an information awareness, consciousness, raising sort of thing.
Yeah. It was made in China, made with China. So kind of like, you know, well, yeah, it was made in China, but it was made with the cooperation of other people. And it's like, are we really that cooperative with it? We must be.
Well, you know, every time we walk into Wally World or any of the other big boxes, I mean, Wally World is the poster child, Laura, but, you know, let's not kid ourselves. It's not like there's somewhere else you can walk into and everything's American.
My electric skillet that I've had for like 15 years finally gave up the ghost. So I took off this afternoon, kind of gave Sue some quiet time, and went to Penny's. I started out at Sears, and what they had in the way of electric skillets was laughable.
And those are so handy.
I'll just go to Penny's. And I went to Penny's, and I found a nice 7-quart electric skillet. Really nice. I get it home here, and I take it out of the box, flip it over. Made in China.
Of course.
And I'm making, we can't even, like, you know, that's my gripe about plastic pickles. I found out their pickles are grown in India.
Oh yeah! Oh, I've been buying Indian pickles for a year now, because the little local grocery store we have here, Laura, has this dollar aisle.
Uh huh.
And they've got dollar dill pickles and dollar bread and butters. I love a bread and butter pickle.
I do too.
And you just because it's habit now. I mean, I can no more not do it. You know, I look for where I can find it out. I look for country of origin.
Uh-huh.
And yep. I go look, and I look for high fructose corn syrup. Those are the two big nasties I look for.
Yeah.
The third one on my list these days that is growing in consciousness is hydrolyzed soy protein.
What now?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, can you imagine going next door? I'm sorry, but I'm in the middle of making dinner, and I don't have time to go to the grocery store. Can I borrow a cup of hydrolyzed soy protein? Do you have a little bottle of high fructose corn sweetener I can borrow? I'll bring it right back tomorrow.
Oh, Lordy.
But yeah, I turned the pickle jar over, and lo and behold, it's a product of India.
Yeah. Yep.
And you know, I'm not going to say anything untoward, but you know, it just came right out of my mouth, and fortunately, no fundamentalists were standing nearby to strike me dead. But I just me running. We can't even grow cucumbers and make pickles in this country anymore.
And that's what I told Sue. I said, we can't even grow a frickin' pickle in this country. You know, and then sitting there looking, my tweezers made Korea. We can't make frickin' tweezers in this country.
No.
You know, and it's like, you know, what else? And now I'm almost afraid to look at my Big Ten here to see maybe.
Oh, not a chance that was made in the United States. Don't even exert the muscle strain on your eyeballs, Laura.
I know. Oh, and it is, it's just so sad. It's like we can't make anything in this country. And then they talk about jobs. Jobs for what? We've got nothing in this country left to produce. We do it all out of the country. So, what, you know, windmill farms.
Well, you know, we had that last night.
Yeah, you know, and it's like, we've got places right here in this country that can do it. Give these jobs to Americans who do really need them. It's just asinine. They can't be thinking otherwise. If they were, they wouldn't be shipping our souls to another country to be produced and sent back to us. Oh, well, yeah. My niece and I got in on this little conversation earlier when she called to find out about Sue. You know, and I told Suzanne, I said, I need to get off my soapbox because it's squeaking.
Well, you're gonna love this. You've watched the Food Network from Food TV from time to time, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, you know who the grand doyen of Southern cookery, Paula Deen, is, right?
Oh, yeah.
She got whacked with a ham.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these PR flacks that send me stuff, I have to credit Extra, whatever Extra is. I guess it's some TV show. But, you know, thanks to Extra, I know that Paula Deen now says that her recovery from the ham throw was like a miracle.
Oh, really?
I got in the way of the hog. I didn't even bruise or swell. It's like a miracle. Now, I'd be lying if I said it didn't hurt. You know what? I am no follower of any particular faith, Laura. You know that. But there's moments when you look up and you figure, well, you know, the Hindus have been doing their thing for probably three times as long as any other religion on the planet, and maybe they're onto something, you know, with that karma thingy.
Yeah.
Because you got to remember that Paula Deen is a spokesflack for Smithfield Meats, the same people that I mentioned, you know, with the horns and the tail. And I'm not talking about beef horns. No, that with the lakes of sludge and sewage and filth and yuck, that's Smithfield Meats. She's a flack for them. And in my heart of hearts, and I don't wish pain or agony on many people,
Yeah.
Unless, you know, if it was a story about Don Blankenship got hit in the head with a hogshead of hogsheads, it would, you know, it would engender for me a, gee, I hope it didn't hurt too little. But, you know, you just got, there's something in you that says, if she got whacked by a ham, I'm hoping it was a Smithfield ham.
Mm-hmm.
That maybe it was just a little revenge of one of those poor benighted hogs, you know.
Yeah.
Up in hog heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hog heaven, sorry, I apologize.
And since so much of that stuff has come out, you know, like the, with the Smithfields and what have you, I've gotten to where if I need to buy, I go down the street, it's maybe a little over a mile from the house, around the corner to just a little store down here on Cleveland Avenue, Cleveland Avenue Market, and their meat is all local.
Oh, glory. Don't go anywhere else.
Beef, that's where I go to get my stuff. If I can't buy it there, then I don't need it. And it is such good meat. I mean, it's like, you know, even Hawkins Market, their stuff is local, too. And Cleveland Avenue Market and Hawkins are big into the county fair. And at the end of the county fair, when the kids sell their chickens and their turkeys and their bunnies and their beef and their hogs and that they've had in the fair, the local markets like Cleveland Avenue Market and Hawkins and Bueller's, and Agnes knows about Bueller's.
Okay.
They snap up the kids' 4-H projects like crazy.
Ah.
There's no big name company coming in and buying up these kids' stuff. And the one kid had a beef for over $2,000 at auction.
Oh.
And it's like, you know, it just tickled me pink. Like these kids have poured their souls into this animal for a year, and this one kid, Grand Champion, got over $2,000 for his Grand Champion. And it's like, good. And he says, college money. And I'm like, oh, well, if you've got a lot more to sell than just one, you're going to need it. But, yeah, I just, the meat is bought local. If I can buy local produce, like in the summer, and I don't get out as often as I'd like to the couple farmers markets that go on here in town, and buy, you know, produce from them. Because what's in the store is like taste. Tomatoes look like tomatoes, but that's where the similarity ends.
Right, because they certainly don't taste like them.
No, they don't. The only ones I have ever bought in the market in the last 2 years were tomatoes from Tennessee. And they were kind of later in the season. And those were good. But everything else is hothouse or hydroponic. Yeah, okay. Hydroponic, I'll just drink a glass of water. Forget the tomato. That's what I'm getting.
Right.
A glass of water, you know. No taste, no nothing to it. It just looks like a tomato, and that's where it ends.
Yeah, in a sort of vague sort of fashion. I know exactly what you're talking about. And you know Nanette from the chat room.
Oh yeah.
She's been having computer problems. It's not like she doesn't like us anymore.
I know. And she was in a week or so ago, and it's like, oh, doggone it. Yeah.
I got a treat from Nanette.
Oh, you did.
Yeah, they bought a cow.
Mm-hmm.
And they split it halvesies, I think, with someone else. And when I was down in the Coal River Valley, Nanette brought me this goodie basket of ground beef and some round steaks and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that hamburger, oh my God.
Uh-huh.
The difference in flavor between the stuff that comes out of the grocery store and that stuff that,
uh-huh.
that you know, happy, you know, just a happy grass-eaten beef that's not loaded up with hormones or antibiotics or any of that stuff. Oh, my heavenly.
Yep.
It's all the difference in the world. And you know what? It's like you got to put a little bit of canola oil in the bottom of the skillet because there's so little fat to it.
It's so lean.
Yeah. Oh, it's wonderful. And so, you know, I've been making stuffed manicotti and, you know, yeah. Yeah, because I'm Italian, the stuffed manicotti.
Non-fattening stuff, yeah. I hear you.
Yeah. Well, there was a side of manicottis that were stuffed with savory ricotta, but shh.
Yeah, Yeah. Well, we won't talk about it. You're and right. It's not like you eat it every day, so who cares?
True enough.
Dogs once in a while.
You got to. You got to. Well, let me just ask you, I know things will be a little bit hairy around the household. Are you gonna try to do the Thanksgiving feast, and how in the world are you gonna keep Sue out of the kitchen?
I'm gonna put Sweet Pea on guard duty and make her keep Sue out of the kitchen. Well, in a way, to a point, she really won't be in the kitchen that much. But if I can get the dough for the rolls to the point where all she's got to do is take the rolls, you know, and put them in the baking dish so we can bake them, you know, that'll make her happy. Everything else, though, is going to be, you know, it's going to be footwork, and she just doesn't need the footwork right now.
No.
So, but yeah, if she just sits in the chair and she chats with me, that's fine, too. I can talk to the cupboard door and let it bounce off and travel across the kitchen, and she can answer me when she needs to, and and we get it done. Somehow we manage to get it done. But, yeah, as far as I know, good old worm on the creek don't rise. We'll have Thanksgiving Day dinner, Thanksgiving Day, like she wants, which is fine with me because I hate to talk with Tom Turkey wasting away in the freezer till.
Yeah, whenever, right.
Home, if she's not home tomorrow, yeah, because it'll just break her heart.
Well, speaking of Tom, he's not still in the freezer, is he?
No, actually, I will bring him up tonight, and he will sit in the sink and thaw. Because he's big enough, he's going to take all night to thaw.
Oh, yeah, we've got a 20-pound affair. And yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and it'll be safe, so, you know, it's not like I've taken a fresh turkey out of the refrigerator and leaving him sit in the sink overnight that I have to worry about, you know, salmonella or anything like that.
Right.
But, yeah, he will be coming out of the freezer tonight, and I'll cook him tomorrow after we get home, and then I pick all the meat off the bones and big chunks and get rid of the bones. That way I don't have to mess with them again. And then we get Sweet Pea to contend with.
Right, but that's the thing. That, you know, it's always nice to have some turkey laying around for turkey sandwiches. I know better.
Mm-hmm.
This thing will look like one of those dried up bones by an alkali pond in the middle of the desert in a bad western. But by the time this tribe is done, you know, I don't know. They're piranhas with fully articulated shoulders or something. It's just,
yeah.
Just, and it's gone.
Last turkey we had that I didn't take the meat off the bones and get rid of them till we got done with it Thanksgiving Day. I swear to God, it looked like the turkey in Chevy Chase's Christmas Vacation. It was so pathetic looking. Boy, was it good. With his bone, and that was it. So anyways, but that's where things are with Sue, and I wanted to mention about the Made in China commercial.
If you see that again,
I will pay attention to what channel now.
Right, tell me what channel, and shoot me a note or something, so because there's bound to be a website address at the end of it.
I would think so. Yeah.
And maybe we can investigate it a little further. I've got a PR pitch here in front of me, Laura, from an organization called. Come on. It's here. Yeah, madeinusa.com. And I'll share a little bit of what they're saying here in a few. But and you know, I remember the xenophobic nastiness of the 70s and everything with Japanese automobiles and so forth. And the decline of the American car industry. This is different from that. This isn't just cars. This is literally everything.
Yeah.
You know, one of the beautiful things about the operation we have going here is, like the mixing board that we use.
Oh.
It's English. It's English.
Oh, okay.
And I just feel so much better about that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Susan just put up, on the screen here. Here's the video link I think Kyle Webb's talking about. And it's Made in China, so there's a link there. If that's what it is. Like I said, I was just absolutely dumbfounded that I'm sitting here watching a commercial about Made in China. Oh, yeah, I'm going to have to, when we get done, I'm going to have to click on that and see if that's what it was, because I, like I said, I was just dumbfounded. Made in China? Made with China? Are you kidding me? Good grief. Anyway, so I imagine, well, imagine, that's a silly word, she will be in the chat room tomorrow night if she is home, and I very strongly suspect she will be home because she's ready to get out. And if she doesn't make it home, you'll hear the screaming from Mansfield, Ohio. I swear, you will hear her scream.
Well, tell her we're, you know, we're right there with her in spirit.
Well, I passed along everybody's comments and good wishes today, and she just kind of sat there and smiled like...
Oh, did you tell her about Cafe Press?
No, I never had a chance to mention it to her, Nick, because when I first got over there, they were busy with her, and then I hadn't ate, so I had to go get something to eat, or they were going to pick me up off the floor.
And that's, you know, that's the other thing. When you got somebody you love in the hospital, it's really important to take care of yourself because you can kind of forget to do that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. And it's like I said, if I had to eat, they were going to be picking me up. So I never had a chance to mention it to her. So tomorrow I will tell her, shh, and then say. And Lottie said he was pretty sure that she did hear about it. So, and that was probably Sunday night listening to John's show. Matt and I went to bed early because 3:30 came awfully early yesterday morning. To get up and get around and get going to be there at 6:30 in the morning. So, but yeah, I will make sure I mention it to her just to be on the safe side that she does know. Bet you go and give all your babes a hug and a kiss and a squeeze for me. Please.
Oh, we sure will if I can just keep them out of the graham crackers.
You need to walk off. We can carry a big stick.
Yeah, a big box of graham crackers.
You never get rid of the stick, trust me. When you get done using it on your kids, here comes the grandkids.
Oh, don't we know that? Don't we know that?
Oh, yeah. Yes. You've never seen 20 little fingers getting so much stuff, have you?
Oh. And see, it's Agnes who really gets the brunt of that.
Really?
Oh, yeah, because they're kind of gated into one room. I watched the Loney. The TV went to a commercial, and Agnes changed the channel. And she turned around and looked at her grandmother Loney did and said, "Put it back, put it back, put it back." You know. And,
oh yeah, I remember all too well. Okay, I'm going to let you go. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. We got one more day, so, you know.
One more day, and we'll probably see you tomorrow night in the chat room then.
Beautiful. Laura, thanks so much for the update.
You're welcome. Take care, and God bless to everybody.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
That's Laura. To folks in the chat room, otherwise known as Cobwebs, and mother of ELO, otherwise known as Sue. And we're anxious for Sue to get home. No doubt about it. Hey, welcome to the program.
What's wrong with oysters in dressing?
I love oysters in dressing.
I've been wondering about that ever since you mentioned oysters in dressing, and I was going, just, Donald, I'm on the phone. You know, it's just, that's one of my favorite dressings.
Oh, they're yummy. They're just yummy. It's just there's not a chance of it happening.
Especially if you add water chestnuts and Italian sausage.
You know, we've got the world's most diverse dressing recipe in the works here. So far we've got walnuts, Italian sausage, oysters, yum, and chestnuts. Yeah. I wish
and
we had
onions, of course.
Oh, and tons of celery. I don't know. I don't think yeah. No, I've never done the mushrooms.
Oh, you gotta have mushrooms.
Now, if I lived where you live and I had access to something like some wonderful morels, oh, I'd be all over it.
Well, you see, the problem is if you're going after the fresh ones, you gotta be an expert because a bunch of people went out. This was about 30 years ago. A family went out after morels,
mm-hmm.
and they got this whole mess of mushrooms and went home and cooked them up and ate them, and the entire family ended up getting liver transplants because they ended up getting a couple death caps in there.
Oops!
Oops! Big time!
Yeah, they're not as prolific around here as they are out where you are, but, you know, long about April and May, around here they call them Molly Moochers. And, Marcy, there's nothing like them. Just love them.
Oh, yeah. In addition, see, due to my galloping crud, I managed to come down with horrendous cold. So our Thanksgiving is going to be somewhat delayed, mainly because neither one of us can taste. So we're going to have Thanksgiving in a few days.
Yeah, because it's kind of pointless at this juncture.
Yeah, we can't smell our upper lip, let alone taste anything. But for your edification, you might want to consider something along the line of what people might want to consider. Something along, seeing how you mentioned food porn, something along the line of a more traditional dessert. Also very simple to make.
Namely,
apple bread pudding.
Oh, bread pudding, sure.
Or cranberry duff.
Now that I...
You know where that one comes from.
Yeah, that's... No.
That comes right out of Scotland.
Well, okay, that's what I was assuming, but, you know, it didn't have any lungs or anything involved, so I wasn't sure.
Well, not everything coming out of Scotland did. Just remember scones.
True.
And neat patties.
Yeah. And deep-fried Mars bars and Twinkies.
But if you think it would be interesting, I can post them. It's too bad that the forum doesn't accept images because I've got lovely pictures.
Oh, I'll bet they are.
Oh, yeah. Gorgeous. Gorgeous picture. But I always like when I'm making Thanksgiving dinner, like, one year I did a Brown Betty.
Oh, those are just wonderful.
I like doing old desserts. You know, super traditional dessert.
A trifle. Yes, a trifle. I knew somebody once who had like an antique trifle dish, and it was the pride of her...
Stuff from our heritage, you know, because of Brown Betty, you know, that's straight out of the settlement era of this country.
Exactly.
It's just super cool.
And you know, the sweet potato pie thing is, I mean, I grew up eating sweet potato pie, and not just at Thanksgiving. That's a Southern dessert staple. I don't have the time or the oven space to do a pecan pie. Otherwise, I would. Because I just adore those.
Yeah, my problem with pecan pie is it's too sweet.
Wash your mouth out, Susan. There is no such thing.
I'm sorry. I don't come from the South. I'm sorry. My downfall is not sweet. It's starch. So bread pudding, yeah, bring it on. Things like pecan pie.
Oh, with a nice nice bourbon caramel sauce. Oh, yeah.
But things like bread pudding and stuff like that, oh my word. We've got people probably, their eyeballs are dripping off.
but again, you know, even with something like bread pudding, you know, there's another thing that is, you're making something sweet out of something that, would otherwise be thrown away. And if you are a frugal culture, you throw nothing away.
And it's made out of stale bread, apples, which at this time of the year were all over the place. cinnamon, vanilla. And with this recipe, they used sweetened condensed milk, but I'm sure you could use sugar and or milk. And then eggs. And during, in the early American period of this country, eggs, chickens were endemic. Everybody had chickens.
Sure. And so you had a few eggs, and you know, hence the eggnog. And again, this you've got to remember that, you know, this is a this started out as a harvest feast. I don't know if you got to see it last night over at Crooks and Liars. It'd be a day. You'd have to drill down by about a day, but kids celebrate kids reenact first Thanksgiving. That little video is so worth it. Because it starts out with the three little kids playing Indian saying, you know, hello, we trust you. Come and share our harvest feast. And the pilgrims move over, shove them completely off the bench, and start screaming, you know, as you know, 5 and 6 year olds will, mine, mine, all mine.
Yeah.
And the one little kid playing an Indian's like, share? And just gets this withering glance. It's worth your effort to go and find it, Susan, just for the punchline.
Oh yeah, it would be funny.
But there's more truth to it than probably, and this was noted on the Crooks and Liars post, than meets the eye.
Oh yeah. You were talking about pickles that were from India and stuff like that. If I want pickles, I make my own. If I want sauerkraut.
Homemade kraut.
Sauerkraut in cans isn't worth eating, for one thing. And secondly, I have no idea where it comes from. If I want sauerkraut, I'll make my own. Any idiot can make sauerkraut.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, I've bought a couple of from-the-store jars of kimchi lately, which is, of course, nothing but Korean sauerkraut. Come on.
Yeah, I know, but from the store?
Well, it's not like, right, so, but I, you know, and the thing is, everybody loved it. So I gotta go digging through Mom's recipe box and find her yes, my mother had a kimchi recipe.
I could come up with a kimchi recipe in about 5 seconds.
I know, but I gotta find Mom's, because it was given to her by the Korean neighbor next door. So,
okay.
And you know, she was the one who enlightened Mother as to the fact that, you know, there's spring kimchi and summer kimchi and winter kimchi and fall kimchi, all kinds of different varieties. And,
of course there is.
And, you know, there's, I still say, you know, granted, there's some salt involved in everything, so blood pressure has to be a consideration. But there is no better remedy on the morning after a long night, if you know what I mean, than a good blast of kimchi juice. Because that chili pepper, the salt rehydrates you, and the chili pepper just blows open your entire brain vascular system.
Oh yeah, the trouble is, the kraut you get in cans these days, it's straight vinegar.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not fermented.
No, this was organic fermented bubbly kimchi. So I mean, it was right.
Yeah, in other words, you got the good stuff.
But I'm going to buy a couple of heads of Napa cabbage and or bok choy or whatever.
Your own.
Yeah.
Yeah, and do your own. Yeah.
Because I got a big crockery churn.
Yeah.
I can dig a hole in the backyard and bury it.
If you got the stuff to make it with, go for it. The stuff is great, but I just can't. We don't normally eat pickles because I don't like. You know, paying money to somebody in India or China or wherever.
Well, and beyond that, it's the fact that you know that the people working the cucumber fields in India, you're not paying the money to them.
No, you're paying it to some middleman. If I want cucumbers, I'll go down to Sophie's Island where I can watch them go out in the field and pick them for me. Because there's this place down here that half of it's a bird sanctuary and half of it's these truck farms where they sell produce to anybody that walks in. And oh my, talk about Tasty.
Oh, by the way, incoming email from our pal Marty in the Bay Area. He says, please ask Susan to make lots of sauerkraut and ship it to the San Francisco Giants for the next baseball season. They need lots better kraut for the Polish sausage. Now, Marty also, by the way, never one to shy away from a strongly held conviction. Not enough room, Bob. Throw out the sweet potato and keep the pecan. Until you have had Lottie's sweet potato pie recipe, I just say you've got to keep your counsel, because this stuff is astonishing.
I wanted to ask you your opinion on dear old Five Deaf Dick and his.
Didn't he just make you want to eat dirt and run rabbits?
About his talk about war from the perspective of the U.S. troops.
Yeah, tell us about your perspective there with your five deferments, Dick. I can hear Ferg laughing in the next room because I said Dick. Oh, juveniles. Adolescents.
I can't believe that. I really can't.
I worry that there's a lack of understanding there of what this means from the perspective of the troops. You know, if you're out there on the line day in and day out and putting your life at risk on a volunteer basis for the nation, and you see the commander-in-chief unable or appearing to be unable to make a decision about the way forward here, you know, that raises serious doubts. Nobody wants to think of volunteering to participate in that kind of operation. It may be inexperience on Obama's part. It may be that there's confusion on the staff, but I'm not encouraged by it.
Yeah.
Got to wonder how encouraged the kids were who died in his place in Vietnam.
Yeah.
God, I hate that sorry son of a sea cook.
Please, my father was in the Navy. Do not insult the Navy.
Yeah, I'm just getting this in from David in Tennessee. Oh, Bob, you would be knocked on your ass were you to ever see Savi's Island.
Yeah.
And all it harbors. 20 minutes from downtown Portland and so far away.
Oh, yeah. Oh, David, they just, instead of that cruddy bridge that was all, it had a tendency to creak when you went over it, they finally put in a new bridge because they couldn't put fire trucks over it, so they had to take it down because they had to cut.
So how did they get there? I mean, so there's a new span up?
Yeah, they had to put a new span up because they couldn't provide fire service to anybody on the island.
I've so got to travel. And more and more and more, I realize that while there are so many wonderful places to see, I got to see the Northwest. I've lived through West Virginia winters, and frankly, I can't imagine that what you guys get is any worse than this, with the exception of last winter when it, you know, just behaved so bizarrely.
Selfie's Island is, even in winter, it's green. We don't have, you know, brown winters. We have green winters. It's only brown in the high summer, you know, when stuff's raining.
And, you know, that's got to take at least a little bit of the grimness out of six otherwise gray months.
Yeah.
David lived out there. David described it to me once, unless I'm getting this completely wrong, and I hope I'm not, as what we get here in March lasts for 6 months.
That's about right.
So that just sounds like I need to visit sometime between April and the end of September.
Yeah, we call it liquid sunshine.
And he says, by the way, Susan, that bridge, it didn't creak, it moaned in horror. Great news.
Oh, yeah, it's a really cool bridge now. The neat thing about Selfie's Island, it's half of it is a bird sanctuary. So you can go out there and you can watch all these various birds, including bald eagles, the bald eagle's nest there. And when the fish are running, they come in and they, on the Columbia River, and they hunt on the river. And they come in and do these swooping, dive, strafing runs on the river and come up with fish. And it's just...
Oh, that's where all that footage comes from.
Yeah.
The hawk or the eagle or whatever in full-on dive bomber mode with the talons extended and just... and fly away
with the
salmon. Yeah.
That's bald eagle.
Yeah.
Sometimes they stop by in the trees across from my house and rest in between runs.
That's got to be cool.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's just way cool.
Well, I hope you and Donald get to feeling much better, and whenever you do get around to doing your Thanksgiving feast, enjoy it manifestly.
I'm sure we will.
There's nothing worse than trying to, you know, you're right. There's no point in going to all that trouble if nobody can taste it.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I can't even taste my upper lip. It's bad. No, come on for me.
Well, you're not missing much. I just tasted mine, and there's really not much to it. No.
So
well, Susan, you have yourself a wonderful evening, and give our regards to Donald, please.
I will do so, and I'm going to go contemplate Dobbs running for president. Oh.
Yeah, see, I'm not going to contemplate Dobbs running for president because I want to make it through this program sober.
Okay. You have a nice night, and I love Agnes.
All right. Take care, Susan. Bye now.
Bye.
News Ninja Susan calling from Columbia City, Oregon. 22 and a half minutes past the hour. Got a couple of open lines if you want to jump in. And you are more than welcome to. You know the number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. And to the phones, back to the phones we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Juanita.
I hate to be the bearer of bad tidings.
But?
Well, I sent you an email a while ago. I found that blonde.
Oh, yes, Nancy Frottenhauer.
But you know what? How I found her? I had it spelled with an S.
Ah.
So I was trying to go by the spelling, and I couldn't find anything. So you know what I did? I just put down right winger Nancy and went right to that.
Well, maybe that's why Fox wants to deal. Why they want to delist with Google? If the Google
is right winger Nancy.
If the Google will identify her as right winger Nancy. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, yeah. Now, I'm feeling mild humbug about all this political stuff. I'm so sick of these prima donnas, Letterman, and what's her name from Arkansas, and the woman from Louisiana, and who's the other one? I'm so sick of them, Bob.
You mean the fact that they absolutely would rather drop dead naked in the middle of traffic as opposed to doing the business of the people of the United States?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too, Juanita. Me too.
It's like at the point, like I almost say, okay, just forget about it. Just forget about it. Go ahead and take over. That's what's going to happen if we get a Mickey Mouse deal.
Well, and it kind of is. You know, I had to.
Forever.
I had an email last night, you remember, and this is a, thank you for reminding me because this is a great place to put in a plug. I had an email last night from, our dear friend Diane, the artist who crafted the, For the Love of West Virginia, print, of which there remain a few, and, they are easily obtainable, it's just one click away on the headonradionetwork.com website.
Yeah.
But,
if I could, I would get one.
Oh, I know you would. I'm not taunting here either. But
I'm just saying I would like, but that's fine.
I hope
somebody does get all of them.
But I heard from Diane, and because I had we had a couple of prints to sell, and I sent her the information. And she said, I'm sorry, I've totally fallen off the radar ever since I started my new job. My life's been insane.
suppose she got a new job.
Yeah. But she also said, I've been politically out of the loop, and to be honest, I sort of shut off after hearing the public option was dead. I wanted to believe something good would come out of this president, and now there is no public option, and more of my friends are going to fight in a war that means nothing.
Yeah.
She says, I seriously can't talk about it. And
maybe our country.
And she does. She says, give my love to everyone. So consider that passed along. But I understand it, Juanita. You know, and I, because I know how Repiglicans think, I can't help but wonder if maybe by destroying whatever is good and liberal and progressive, in the way of anything that we might want to build. That maybe that's, I mean, ultimately that's their goal. I mean, because this is...
Of course it's their goal.
This is war to them, Juanita.
Yeah.
This is war to them. And they don't care how many dead are left in their wake. Their goal is to dispirit and demoralize those of us with liberal or some say progressive leanings or inclinations or, you know, outright philosophies. Because we're all that stands in the way of them and the total ruination of this country, which is ultimately their dream.
Right. Absolutely.
And they are so close to it that they can almost reach out and touch it. Now, if they can just get it, granted, they will howl as they have been howling, please don't throw me into the briar patch. But the fact of the matter is, forcing every American to buy insurance from for-profit health insurance providers is nothing short of a vast redistribution of wealth from the poorest among us to the richest among us.
Yeah.
And that's the way the Republican Party wants it.
Well, you know, Bob, if it stays, with or without the bill, if it stays the way it is, most of us are not going to get it. And Republicans go in, they'll get rid of all our Medicare and everything. They'll get rid of all of it. That's their goal.
Well, the trouble
they don't want anything left to give any kind of honor or dignity to FDR.
No, or to working USA.
Oh no, because he was for us. He wasn't perfect, but he did some wonderful, great things. And he was a man of the people. He went out.
FDR, LBJ, JFK, their whole notion, Juanita, is to just grind the memory of those great men into the dust.
Yeah.
Now, LBJ made horrible, horrible, horrible mistakes.
Yeah.
With regard to Vietnam. But, and I'm not giving him a pass, but you gotta remember he had just watched a president of the United States get his brains splattered all over Dealey Plaza, who had, among other things, actively taken steps to end the escalation, to end Vietnam and have every American home by 1965. You're LBJ, what do? But, you know, there's still the Great Society stuff and Medicare and so many things that have meant so much to so many Americans. And
even them, even these people, don't take away my Medicare. You know, man, if you get what you want, you ain't going to have nothing. nothing. And I'm so tired. It's just like we've just gone from one thing to the other. About the time you think you're going to get a little step upward, we just get knocked down. Just, you can't even take a deep breath.
No,
you have to take little shallow breaths and say, okay, you hit me again.
And see, that's the difference between them and us, Juanita. Because any movement toward progress or a better American future, in other words, liberal ideals, that is pushed for the most part from the ground up basis. Okay, it's bottom up and not top down, and it's pushed by people like you. And the rest of the Horn family who aren't doing it because we're getting a paycheck to do it. We're doing it because it's the right thing to do. But by virtue of the fact that we're not getting a paycheck to do it, we don't ever get to turn it off. It's with us 24 hours a day.
Right.
And it grinds on us. And I know it does. And I get the emails from people saying, you know, hey, Bob, you know, lighten up. It's, you know, we got to have some good news once in a while.
Yeah.
But
here I go.
But no. I mean, so, you know, I don't feel bad about doing 30 minutes of food porn at the beginning of this program.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, the other side spends 8 hours a day and gets nice paychecks for doing it, screwing America, and then they go home and they live in that compartmentalized world that we've discussed from time to time.
Yeah.
And it's almost psychotic in a way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Very illusional. You know. But, well, I saw a hearing the other day, and you know that Representative Issa?
Oh, yes.
Talking about?
Daryl Issa?
Every time you see him in a hearing. Well, they were on one the other day about amount of jobs that have been created since Obama's been in.
Right.
And they were just slinging all kind of things, you know, political
filth,
high words, and talking about us having propaganda and all. And, it was a political thing. There wasn't anything, you know. And, of course, you're lying. You know, all those jobs, they're not all those jobs. And they had a man there that was trying to check on everything, and they thought they really had him because one guy was from Utah, and he said, look at here, it's got here on here about what he called the different precincts, or not the precincts, but what their representative represents, districts. And he said it says District 4. We only have, I think he said, 3. And then it was says District 0. And he says, well, sir, that had to happen in Utah. He said mistakes are made, you know. You know, it's just like when I was working, my last job was at a retirement home, and we had a lot of people that could have been in a nursing home, you know, and they were given medication and so forth, and they would hire girls to come in to work there as aides, just pay them hardly nothing. They couldn't, if they had to stay over, they couldn't make overtime. They have to check out. And they were having them to give out medications to those people and expecting them to do perfect work, book work. Well, everybody can't keep books. And everybody doesn't know about medications, about dosage and so forth, all the different things that they have, their nurses say. They haven't gone and become LPNs or RNs. They don't know. And given, and I don't even think that was legal. But, you know, you can't expect everybody to do perfect books. But they were just going on and on about it. Well, finally, the guy—I don't know who it was that was headed of it. It was a black guy that was from. He was the representative. He finally said, "You know, I never heard you talking about anything when this was under Booster's watch. What he did, and he just said it so eloquently. And are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here. I'm just listening.
Okay, we got cut off the other day, and I was like, oh, no, if I got cut off again.
No, I'm right here.
Anyway, of course, one of them said, well, you know, we couldn't do this, we couldn't do that, you know. But he had them. But they were just going on. They weren't caring what the answers were. They were just saying what they wanted to say. And, you know, that I've seen him in other hearings, and he is always nasty. If it involves somebody that's on the opposite side, I mean, it's always just nasty as he can be. But
he's got a history too. He's like one step away from a convicted felon. A con artist of some sort.
I have to check that out.
Yeah, I do, because Daryl Issa is as creepy as they come. I think maybe it was Brad Friedman that exposed him. But yeah, just nasty business. He was the one that was behind the recall of the setup that allowed, you know, the governor to further destroy California.
He done a good job of that, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, but ISA had a whole scam going on that was just sickening.
Well, thank you for telling me that. I haven't really looked up anything about him because every time I see him, I think, uh-oh, here comes nasty. I mean, he's nasty.
Oh, he is. He is. Just plain old-fashioned vile.
Yeah. It's like some of these lawyers, you know, that give the third degree, and they're just nasty.
Right.
It's kind of like people that torture, you know, that they think they're getting somewhere. Oh, by the way, Elizabeth was having a hissy fit on The View this morning.
No.
About the trial, but...
Oh, you know, she gets her talking points early.
Uh-huh.
Because, lo and behold, you know, the only news channel I get is Fox, and, you know,
quick,
until my eyes start bleeding.
About it.
Oh, they were real nasty about it today. Yeah, absolutely. That's
And Joy said, well, you were talking about you like to move away from New York City. Well, I told you that confidence. I betray your confidences to me, you know. And she said, get over it. But anyway, she had been on Hannity. I didn't see it, but I understand she was talking about she was glad that they did the torture, you know, the waterboarding. I believe you mentioned that yesterday, didn't you, about it?
Was that me? I'm not sure. They all run together after a while.
No, maybe I heard it on Young Turks. I don't know, but they're the only other ones I've listened to besides you for a while. But anyway... yeah, there was something about that. She was on there, and you know, he had, maybe it was Keith Olbermann's show. But anyway, it was somebody, and he was saying, oh, yeah, you know, there's nothing, you know, nothing to do that. Well, he was chickened out of having it done to him so he could hit our troops.
Yeah, he didn't want any of it, no.
Mm-mm.
Of course, that's because, what's the baby Jesus? That's the nickname for him.
What?
Yeah, that I've heard. I think it's Malloy that. Malloy picked it up from like Neil Bortz or something. The nickname for Hannity is the baby Jesus.
Where?
It's just a going nickname for you know. I just call him that life support system for a haircut, but you know, that's me.
Well, I've got a Bible verse for you.
Okay.
I was looking up, who was that called the other day? I told you about the Ezekiel thing about sodomy.
Oh, yeah, that was our buddy Larry from Florida.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank him for bringing that up because I'd heard, and you know, I've read that before and I never noticed that. Not that I remember.
Yeah, where it says abundantly clear that the sin of Sodom was its inhospitableness.
Yeah. And I got to looking up about the poor, and one of, and this is all through the Bible, all through the through there, and it's from Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 24:14, thou shalt not oppress an hired servant that is poor and needy, whether he be of thy brethren or of thy strangers that are in thy land within thy gates. Aliens?
Yeah, sure. Right. Immigrant workers.
I mean, it's all through. It's a big deal all through.
Oh, yeah. Well, obviously, Juanita, if they would spend less time thumping it and more time reading it and not just the good parts where they get to stone the icky people, they might pick something up along the way.
Yeah. But I was so glad he brought that up because I'd heard it was in there, and I thought, no, they always say it was because of homosexuality. Well, if you read that whole chapter that he was talking about, he's talking about what all he had done, you know, God, what all he had done for them, and then they turn around and got really high up, you know, and they ignored these people.
Got, as we would say, too big for their britches.
Yeah, too big for the britches. And they were going to be in serious trouble, and they were. But, you know, I'll tell you, I don't like to see anything bad happen to anybody. But I don't know. It's something doesn't change in this country, these people are just getting worse. And I was talking to my son about it, about the way they're getting, you know, now. And I'm talking about, like, the teabaggers and so forth. And I said, you know, they don't realize that we're not all namby-pamby.
Oh, no.
And there's some of us are very radical. And some people, they can click it over, you know.
Yeah, they're making some rather unfortunate assumptions about us.
Oh yeah, they assume that we don't believe in God at all whatsoever. We've got nothing. We've got
we're just completely
godless. No matter what,
heathens,
we're
just heathens.
High-minded. What do you call it? Idealistics or something. I don't know. Well, that's a nice thing for them to say. They usually say a lot worse.
Oh, and by the way, Daryl Issa just got this in, Juanita, from David in Tennessee,
okay.
who often serves as my research department.
Yeah.
He says, Issa, whichever, and his brother were involved in, among other scams, a scam that involved used cars.
Oh, gosh.
To save his own ass, he dropped the dime on his brother, resulting in hard time for the bro. Nice guy, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well,
and Marty adds he basically wanted to be governor of California.
Oh.
And he bankrolled the petition drive that put the recall on the ballot. Then the California GOP kicked him aside in order to get honored up front. And you see how California's turned out since.
Oh yeah.
Have you seen the footage of the riots? Then I think that's protests at the very least. At places like UCLA with the tuition increase that Marty was talking about?
Yeah. Yeah, some of that. Yeah, I sure have. I don't know. Well, the thing is that, you know, like we people on Social Security, we're not getting a raise this year. They said they might try to send us $250. But, and
oh, don't spend it all in one place, Juanita.
I know. But, I mean, I'll take it. And when Bush was in, we got nothing. You know, all that, the money that different people got. We didn't get anything at all. And I remember the first year he was in, we got 1% raise. But then we get Obama, we get zero. But you know what? I'm better off than most people.
Well, true. And you gotta, and it's one of those gotta laugh to keep from crying kind of things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because you could drown yourself in tears real easy.
But, yeah, don't mess with my Social Security.
Yeah, let's don't do that.
You rotten Republicans. I mean, they're rotten, Bob.
Oh, they are.
That's good.
And you know, and they've got names like Schottenhauer. And it makes them sound like characters from a Warner Brothers cartoon, you know. Hey, Bugs, bring the Schottenhauer over here.
Did you see where it said that she was some kind of something for John McCain?
Yeah.
His dirty engine, energy, whatever.
Right.
Advisor or whatever. Oh, you heard about the...
Oh, and she does, you know, you said this last night, and she does have a long neck. I mean, I'd be surprised if her drinking buddies didn't call her Raff or something, you know, for Jiraff.
Does she have kind of a big goozle, too? Like Ann Coulter.
Yeah.
You heard it called Goozle. That's what we... You ever heard it called that?
No, that's a new one. No.
That must be Georgia style.
Could be. old school Georgia style. Yeah, she is from Koch Industries or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I've never seen her before. It's all of a sudden, here she is.
That's a neck.
Yeah. The pictures came through, huh?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
If you want to look up somebody, just say right, in their right wing, just say right wing or whatever the first name is.
And it'll take you right to a Fox. Yeah.
Instead, you just might be a redneck. You just might get to get
right winger first name, and you'll find just type in some first name and right winger, and you'll find somebody that's appeared on Fox.
Well, I put right winger first. I put right winger Nancy, because I was trying every way I could think of to spell it. I wasn't thinking about it. you know, beginning with, what does it begin with, D?
What?
F-O?
No, P, P.
P, yeah.
Fontenhauer.
I went too far off on the spelling.
And I'm sorry, like I said, she's like a Warner Brothers cartoon. I keep hearing that wonderful line, you know, because I was raised on Bugs Bunny. And I keep hearing that wonderful line, if I didn't know this was Hassenpfeffer, I'd swear it was a carrot. If I didn't know this was Fontenhauer.
Well, the reason I thought, well, you had said some woman's name the other night, and I thought, well, I wonder if that was the same one that had an unusual name. Oh, somebody said down the line on this, the comments, I sent you the comments, but somebody said, isn't that German for phony mouth? I wonder if it is. Fontenhauer.
I don't know. Well,
there's a place you can look up online. And
yeah, Babelfish.
Huh?
Babelfish.
Babelfish?
Yeah, that's an online translator.
Oh.
Maybe we'll plug in Fontenhauer and see what we get.
Yeah. Okay, Bob.
All right, Juanita, have a wonderful evening.
Have a wonderful holiday, and I'll talk to you another time.
Okie dokie. We'll talk soon. Have a wonderful evening.
Okay.
Fontenhauer to you, Juanita.
I think you're saying.
Juice. Bye.
Okay, not much.
Oh, this is... Juice, Chow, I don't know. Fontenhauer! God, it's an episode of the Beverly Hillbillies. You remember when they went to England and the butler or whatever met him at the foot of the steps and said, Haversham! And Jed replied, Haversham! And Granny replied, Haversham! So for the rest of the whole thing, that was the shtick. They thought that English people said hello by saying Haversham. Haversham! Fontenhauer! Sylvester the Cat and Daffy Duck. Models for modern living. Tell you what, we're going to take a little break before we proceed onward with your phone calls. You know the number, right? Right? Please? 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, head on. Or on your nickel, 304-658-3333. Email to bobkincaid@gmail.com. On the way, this Tuesday's edition of Green News with Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen. See, I almost said Brad Fottenhauer. Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen. Wonderful, and always glad to see Tuesdays and Thursdays roll around. And that word came up, and it's a magic word. Kind of made this a necessary little musical interlude from the patron saint band of the horn. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is the horn. I've never ever been in for
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
It's Tuesday, November 24, 2009.
Flooding around the world. Icebergs in New Zealand. The not-so-great drywall of China. Plus, climate scientists' emails hacked.
Really? All of that and more straight ahead. I'm Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Prepare for 6 minutes of green news and snarky comment.
With apologies to that great Italian-American, Dean Martin. When the trash piles high reaches up to the sky, no amore. Roman nuclear waste, will it come to the States to be dumped?
With apologies to Dean Martin, Congressman Markey, what about me? This is your Green News Report. The Green News Report is brought to you by VelvetRevolution.us, cracking down on ideologues who incite violence over our airwaves. Sign the petition demanding action from the DOJ and Congress before it's too late at StopDomesticTerror.com. That's StopDomesticTerror.com. Sign on today. Okay, well, I'll hope Representative Markey
keeps his day job there, Des. What was he singing about?
That was, yes, that was Representative Ed Markey, Democrat of Massachusetts, singing in a committee hearing about a little bill called the Radioactive Deterrence Act to stop foreign countries from dumping their nuclear waste in the United States.
His thought is if he sings like that enough, that we'll stop anything?
Hey, it got you to listen.
Okay.
It's a private company that wants to take advantage of a gap in federal law that they say allows them to store foreign nuclear waste at their private facility outside of Salt Lake City, Utah. That's over the objections of federal, state, and regional nuclear authorities.
Mm.
Parts of the Philippines are still underwater a month after a series of deadly typhoons struck the tiny island nation. Four typhoons in 4 weeks killed hundreds of people and overwhelmed the nation's inadequate flood control systems, and officials estimate it could be another 3 to 6 months before the floodwaters recede. Meanwhile, more rain is forecast for already flooded regions in northern Britain and Ireland, where an intense storm dumped a record 12 inches of rain in 24 hours over the weekend, one of the wettest days in recorded British history. Rescue operations are underway for residents still trapped in their homes, and even the Lake Hotel, a famous 12th century castle in County Kerry, was said to be almost completely submerged.
Wow.
One consequence of climate change is predicted to be more extreme weather events that strain infrastructure. There's a fascinating story this week in the New York Times, you should check it out, where they say that half the storms overwhelmed the city's sewage treatment systems. Yummy. Same thing happened in Atlanta this summer, where portions of the sewage system were shut down for weeks after torrential rains.
Iceberg, get ahead!
Icebergs down under. New Zealand maritime officials are warning ships to be on alert for groups of large icebergs floating in the South Pacific, much farther north than normal. The rare appearance of so many icebergs so far north appears to be related to the breakup of the Ross Ice Shelf in Antarctica back in 2003.
It's very rare that these icebergs make their way as far north as New Zealand, right?
Yes, they're not quite there, but they're headed there. It's an iceberg invasion on New Zealand.
All right.
A federal agency yesterday backed up claims from homeowners in 32 states that drywall imported from China is defective, corroding wires and pipes in their newly built homes and making them sick. The Consumer Product and Safety Commission yesterday found, quote, a strong association between the imported Chinese drywall and the corrosion, finding the imported drywall emits both hydrogen sulfide gas and formaldehyde. Months of tests have also found a strong link with homeowners' illnesses. The EPA and the Centers for Disease Control say more testing is needed to understand the long-term effects of defective drywall and what measures can be taken to remediate the problem.
How long has this problem been going on with this Chinese drywall? How long has it been reported, and how long did it take to get action from the government?
The first reports emerged in 2006 after a construction boom after Katrina and the housing boom in the United States, especially in the Southeast.
Did the Bush administration take action on this? Is it just taken this long to do this study?
Congress started looking at the complaints from homeowners back in the fall of 2008.
So we're looking at a two-year gap before the government actually jumped in and took any action here. The Bush administration doesn't seem to have taken the lead at all. And those people stuck with that drywall leaking toxic material into their houses have had to live with this for years, it seems.
Yes, they have. Last week, controversy erupted after hackers broke into the computer system of a respected climate research organization and then publicly released the private emails of climate scientists, which were then immediately seized on by right-wingers and climate change skeptics as proof that climate change is really just a big old hoax. You'll be shocked, no doubt, to hear Rush Limbaugh distort what the emails actually say.
The hacker seems to have uncovered evidence of substantial fraud in reporting the evidence on global warming.
Really? Uncovered substantial fraud? Did the hackers do this? Because I know Rush Limbaugh was on and on about this for hours yesterday, as if this proved that he has been right all along about global climate change being a hoax.
Well, I'm sure you'll also be shocked to learn that the scientists at Britain's Hadley Center, whose emails were hacked, say Rush and his climate denier brigade are just plain wrong, accusing them of taking individual words and phrases out of context. For example, one of the emails refers to a trick with the data. The trick was simply a clever mathematical solution to integrate two different kinds of data.
Decide the evidence for yourself. Check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. We'll link up to it for you. You can follow us on Twitter. You can download our reports on iTunes. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right.
We do?
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
You know, I'm beginning to feel a little bit put upon. I mean, is there no miserable right-wing hack and flack expert whose name is Jones or Smith? Nancy Pottenhauer had something to do with KOCH Industries, which I pronounced Koch because it's KOCH, but I am politely informed that it is pronounced Coke, which I should have known because that great English jurist whose name was spelled C-O-O-K-E was also pronounced Coke. No, his name was C-O-K-E, but his name was pronounced Cook. But if you're brewing beer in Massachusetts and your last name is K-O-C-H, it's pronounced... And I don't even know what the former mayor of New York answers to anymore. And then there was a little bit of confusion during the break of hey, Bob... Wasn't Nancy Pottenhauer the one that Al Franken took to school over medical bankruptcies in Europe? And I thought, yeah, that was her. But no, it wasn't, because that was, Jesus God, what was her name? Diana Furstgott-Roth. Or Diana Gottrocks, or, you know, another one of those names out of the Flintstones. Oh, yes, it's Mr. J.P. Gottrocks. And then Juanita follows up with a little, Nancy Pottenhauer is married to Kurt Pottenhauer, who is the senior vice president of government affairs for the Mortgage Bankers Association. You know, Kurt Pottenhauer, there are times that I wish this show was done with video because there are comic moves that are done unintentionally. This would have been delightful because Juanita sends me this link, and I promise I'm going right back to the phones in just a second. Just bear with me. I look at this photo of Kurt Pottenhauer, and it was the classic W.C. Fields triple take. And those things, when they are real, are as rare as hen's teeth and incredibly dangerous because they can actually bring they can bring on seizures from the laughter they induce. I opened the link from Juanita to get a picture of Mr. Pottenhauer, and it was and my head felt like it was on a swivel because, dear God, apparently they were made for each other in heaven because at this rate if they breed they will have children with 8-foot necks. I don't know. You know, it's one of those, you know, from across the room kind of things. All he could see was her neck. All she could see was his. And it was love. Yeah, Kurt Pottenhauer graduated from the University of Notre Dame with a Bachelor of Arts degree, magna cum laude, magna cum Pottenhauer, where he double majored in humanities and German, and then he received a Master's of Arts degree in Arts and Religion from Yale University. And that propels you to be the head of senior vice president of government affairs for the Mortgage Bankers Association. Isn't this the group of clowns that brought us the housing crisis? Well, naturally, their head of government affairs has a degree in arts and religion. Now it all makes sense. Dear Lord. Yeah. David in Tennessee says, by the way, the only German that matters to me is Reinheitsgebot. The German beer purity laws. Hallelujah. Amen. No raspberries need apply in Germany. No. Beer, water, barley, water, hops, and yeast. If you need anything else, you're in the wrong country. To the phones we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob. It's Kevin from Brooklyn.
Hey, Kevin. I guess Juanita conjured you last night.
Oh, yeah. Why?
Well, she said we hadn't heard from you in a while, and she wanted to know if you were still in country.
Oh, yeah, I am. I don't plan on leaving until spring 2010, you know, holidays and just getting ready. You know, don't worry, I'll probably tell you exactly when I'm going and stuff. But I did finish my course. I got my certification last week. Hello?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Yeah, I got my certification, my TEFL, Teaching English as a Second or Foreign Language certification last week.
Awesome, yeah. So you're good to go?
Well, it's a matter of applying for a job now. One thing about the school I went to, they're also an agency, and they're kind of like a job agency, and they make sure, like, my visas and things like that are in order before I go. So, you know, supposedly they have a whole legal department behind them, you know, doing that sort of thing. But like I said, I'm going to stick around for the holidays, and then hopefully I'm preparing what they call in Europe your curriculum vitae, which is basically a resume with your bio.
Right.
And I'm halfway done with it, so by next week I should send it off to them. They're going to look it over, make any corrections, and then we'll see. In the meantime, you know, I'm trying to work part-time or whatever I can get. I can save some money. They say most likely the school, if you get hired, they'll probably send you an advance to help out with moving costs. So we'll see.
Well, do keep us posted. I just want you to, we all want you to go and prosper and do well and be happy and send us postcards from civilization wherever you wind up.
Oh, yes, I most definitely will. Most definitely will. But anyway, let's talk about, I guess, the jungle here in America now. I think, honestly, I may have to disagree with a lot of people on the horn about the single payer, even though that's what we ultimately want.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to look at it in, like this. How the Republicans got their foothold, they didn't go for, like, all or none. They went for little by little, chipping away.
I don't know if you'll have to convince me.
Okay, and the thing is, it's almost to demand single payer outright. Like I said, in a perfect world, we would have single payer. It would be Medicare for all.
Right.
Simple language. But the reality is, it's not a perfect world, and the media has seen to it. It's not going to be a perfect world. I think go with this, and then we'll come back and build on that. And then eventually, down the line, we'll get Medicare for all.
I hope that that's the way it turns out. What I would have preferred, I think, if we're not even going to talk about it in the Congress, and apparently it's It's something right up there with John Lennon saying the Beatles were more popular than Jesus for Congress to actually talk, for most members of Congress, I should say, to talk about straight-up universal single payer, at least until the election season starts, and then it'll all be, well, you know, we was all for it, but the fact of the matter was we just didn't have a big enough majority, and if you'll just go out and give us a few more Democrats, we'll get her done the next time, which is what the Republicans say to to their base about abortion. You know, we just keep getting conned. But the other side of that is if we're not going to do that, then the least we could do is offer states the opportunity to do universal single payer inside the several states, which was what Dennis Kucinich's amendment was all about.
Yeah.
But apparently, we can't even have that.
Wow.
Because, you know, what we're talking about here, and this is the part that it chaps my butt, is that you've got a bunch of benighted sons of bitches, self-made, pardon my mouth, from places like Alabama and Mississippi and Georgia and Idaho and Oklahoma and South Carolina who are literally telling suffering Americans that they can't have it, that they cannot have single-payer health care. And then you've got enablers in the Democratic Party who are going along with them.
Well, you see, because, you know, the thing is, those enablers come from states where it's a total toss-up, and you know the number one objective of any member of Congress is to get reelected.
Well, sure. But, I mean, still, so, how dare some rotten bastard from Mississippi tell a human being living in New York or New Jersey or Pennsylvania that they cannot offer health care to their people? How dare they?
Yeah, well, I agree with you 100%. Fortunately, you know, me living in New York, we have HHR, and me being unemployed right now, I will join basically a health care program, and I pay like $20 a month.
That's,
there is a mechanism within the state of New York. Yeah.
Yeah, but the problem is there's not such a mechanism inside Georgia, Mississippi, Alabama, Tennessee, Utah, Oklahoma, Louisiana, Arkansas, Texas. You know, I had some story the other day. I'm trying to think. It was Arkansas, by George, where they had one of those one-day free clinics.
Yeah.
5,000 people showed up.
Yeah. There's a line around the corner.
Around the corner, around the block, around the county, and right. And it's, I mean, I understand the incremental approach. And I do understand your thesis, Kevin. I really, really do. But some of us have to be out there hollering for it for them to even make the incremental approaches. And right now, this mishmash that is nothing but a wealth transfer from the most fragile among us to the most wealthy among us, it's unacceptable to me. And
there we go with the divine elect.
Right. Well, they've got a right to have the money because God likes them better.
Exactly. And that's just the way it is. You know, it's like, and this is why, you know, by God, I'm getting out of here because I've had it. I've really had it.
Yeah, like I said, well, Juanita mentioned that you had mentioned the Czech Republic.
Yeah.
Wherever you go, you're going to have to stay up late a couple of nights once in a while just to give us a postcard from civilization. You know, just it'll be like hearing from Michael in Norway or Scott in Sweden. Just remind us that there is that there is a humane place on the planet.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't tell you. Well, I don't have to tell you. You know. this business, you know, this is more than just some sort of business decision, because we have a degree of empathy on our side of all this, and we have the power, and we exercise that power, Kevin, to imagine into the lives and to visualize into the lives of 45,000 Americans, almost the entire Congress of the United States and the president are willing to let die every year.
Oh, yeah. Well, my thing is, and check this out, one of the jobs I'm currently applying for, actually not one of the jobs, all the jobs, they say once hired, you're entitled to free health care.
Man.
Free health care.
Yeah.
And the Czech Republic doesn't even have one-tenth of the economy in the United States.
No, but to be fair, and the right wingers make this argument all the time. Well, they're not, we're protecting their butts. That's because we spend all our money on the military to protect the world. No, it's just that the Czech Republic has a slightly more humane and slightly more enlightened view of a prioritization of what the people of the Czech Republic need.
Yeah, and not only that, it's just, you know, they say, like, every major city, and maybe I'm not too sure about this because, you know, I don't want to go for the urban license either, has open Wi-Fi in most areas.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's not, I doubt that's an urban legend.
You know, I'm trying not to get too, you know, because, like every other country has,
it's all. Well, yeah, like every other country, it's populated by people, and people are flawed organisms.
Yeah. So, it's,
I mean, I'm sure that there is a word in Czech for asshole.
Yeah, oh yeah. But it's like I just don't understand the meanness of a conservative or. The new word, which I've been using lately since the summer, Calvinists.
Yeah, the neo-Calvinists.
Yeah. Because I want to bet you how you took your intern Ferg last week to the concert. Okay?
Yeah.
I'm willing to bet, and I know there's a right winger listening to this show, and I bet you he is thinking, I'm willing to bet my left you-know-what on it. That he's saying, he's over here begging for money, and he's taking his son to a concert. You gotta learn, man!
Well, and that's the, you know, that's the whole point. The tickets were comped, and the backstage passes were as well, through the good graces
of
David and Patterson Hood.
I just know he's thinking it. You know that.
Sure. And you know why? Because that is the model that they have created. Because Oral Roberts and Pat Robertson and that crowd sit there and think, well, you know, we're gonna have to take down the satellite dish if you don't pony up. And then you find out that the SOB's got three jets.
Oh yeah.
Well, you know, I'll be happy to run out in the yard and take a quick snap of my jet. It's a 1995 Dodge pickup truck that has more dents than it has straight places and more rust than it has paint.
And that's how petty they are. It's like only the wealthy can lead a decent life.
Yeah.
You know, and that's been the problem with this country's welfare system from the beginning, because any amount of wealth that the poor acquires, okay, it automatically goes. And that's the thing. And that's where the big mess was from the encryption, since its conception, I should say, of welfare, is that you cannot accumulate wealth to get off welfare.
No. And look, there are things that are provided, although they are done minimally, Kevin. For like I said, you know, single moms on public assistance, you know, there's a paltry check, And there's, if the babies are young enough, there's women and infant children, supplemental food money. Then there's that whopping $3 a day for food stamps. And maybe, depending on what state you're in, there might be some sort of subsidized health care so mommy can go to work. But, if she happens to be disabled or something like that and on Medicaid, then if she tries to go to work, goodbye Medicaid coverage. And then she's flung out to the tender mercies of the free market.
Exactly.
So under those circumstances, bye-bye goes the child care too.
Yeah.
So where's the incentive? If you make these things universally available, your welfare class, so to speak, will diminish dramatically. They rammed that welfare reform through the Congress, and Bill Clinton said, "Oh, we're going to reform welfare, yeehaw," and signed off on it, and it wound up being one of the most pernicious things that was ever done to poor people in this country. And I'm not talking about poor black folks either. I'm talking about poor white folks.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
You know, poor folks, black, white, whatever. Poor folks.
Exactly. But the thing is, that's what bothers me is, like, God forbid if you accumulate any kind of wealth being on public assistance.
Well, you know, they will come and bust your ass if you do that too.
Yeah.
I mean, they will surely do that.
Quote unquote, raise yourself up off the boot.
And I'm guilty, okay? I just confess, sometimes, when it doesn't make my ears hurt and my eyeballs bleed, I can sit here and watch a few minutes of Fox. And I saw the damnedest thing today, that they were having a conniption on Fox about the first Obama administration state dinner, which is apparently this evening. And they're hosting Manmohan Singh of India, who is the prime minister, not sure which, but, you know, head of India. And they were going over the menu. And one of the things was some soup with fresh, and the menu said, you know, like red lentil soup with fresh cheese. And the moron on Fox says, as opposed to what? The moldy old cheese that the White House usually serves?
What a mess.
And, you know, Jesus, you know, well, but it was Fox, and it was the White, and the White House, of course, understood that they couldn't put queso fresco on there because then, well, you know, that's how it is. He's one of them sympathizers with them illegal aliens, and they probably got illegal alien cheese on the menu. So the White House chef has to call it with fresh cheese. But it never, you know, I was looking at the dinner menu and going down a list there, and I thought, no meat. And then dumb me, Kevin, goes, well, there's a reason. This is the head of state of India.
Most likely Hindu.
No, he's Sikh.
Or one of the various.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know what the dietary rules are on Sikhism. But I'm sitting here and that's dawning on me. And it reminded me of the time that Guy James and I were. Well, it was the night of the inauguration. We were starving and trying to find a restaurant we could get into, and we ducked into this Indian restaurant. Up on DuPont Circle.
Oh, I think I know which one you're talking about. But hey.
And we got sat down and everything, and that's when Guy looked at the waiter and says, "Do you not have any beef?"
No.
and the waiter looked at Guy in this sort of slack-jawed amazement. "Oh, no, sir, we do not serve beef here." And then Guy looks at me and goes, that voice,
yeah.
"Bob, I really didn't just ask for beef in an Indian restaurant, did I?"
Well,
and I was really, "Yes, Guy, you did. Bob, we'll be leaving now." "Okay, Guy."
Well, it depends. If it's run by Muslims, they will serve beef.
Right, but this one wasn't.
Okay.
And you know, we're walking in the freezing cold, and guys looking at me going, Bob, as God is my witness, there is an Indian restaurant in D.C. that serves beef. I have not lost my mind in this freezing cold.
Well, he could have ate the lamb. They had lamb, too.
Oh, not Guy. No. Not Guy James. Oh, no, sir.
What?
No chicken, no fowl, no fish, no seafood.
He just eats beef?
No ovines, no lamb, no mutton, no goat.
Wow.
Beef and pork.
He doesn't know what he's doing.
That's why he's such a happy camper at Fogo de Chao.
Oh, wow, yeah. Eat everything from the nose to the tail.
And you know, he's got no qualms with it as long as that's off. It's from the nose to the tail of a cow or a pig.
How can you not eat chicken?
You take that up with Guy James because, you know what, don't even like to be in the room with it. Puts him off.
Now, this is the first human being.
You know, you go to a Chinese restaurant like a P.F. Chang's or something with Guy, you know, just goes into the menu that page that says chicken, just rip it out, make a paper airplane of it, whatever.
Yeah. So no seafood, no
seafood, no fish.
Wow.
No chicken, duck, goose, mm-mm. No lamb, no mutton, no goat.
Turkey?
Pardon?
Turkey?
Are you kidding?
Oh, wow.
I have no idea what he's eating for Thanksgiving dinner. Honest to God, I don't.
Oh, wow.
Ham, I'm guessing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he'd be happy with the Kincaid family Christmas dinner because there's, you know, that's when we do the standing rib. You know, we save all year. Kind of like Mayella Yule, saving up to send the kids for ice cream in To Kill a Mockingbird. I saved up a slap year for that standing rib beef.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, like in our house, like in my family, pretty much, because my mother retired from hosting Thanksgiving. She said she's getting too old, so she passed it down to one of her younger sisters. So I'm going to end up going to my aunt's house. One secret we found, instead of getting one big turkey, it's better to get two medium-sized turkeys. So, because it doesn't dry out.
Right, and you wind up with more dark meat. And you got two breasts to work with. And if there's any youngins around, you double up on the number of wishbones to fight over.
Oh yeah, and not only that, actually end up with more leftovers to share out. Nothing like a good turkey sandwich the next day.
Oh, and see that like I said, I love the next day turkey sandwich, especially if I've got some leftover fresh bread. But there will be no next day turkey sandwich here. I know that, Kevin. I mean, the carcass of that turkey is going to be dry and bleached by the time this bunch are done with it.
Yeah. I have my secret for a turkey sandwich, like really good quality dark whole wheat bread with like nuts in there and stuff like that.
Yeah, that real flavor explosion.
Yeah. Miracle Whip.
Oh, you're a Miracle Whip guy. Oh.
Huh?
Oh, you're a Miracle Whip guy.
Well, I could do mayonnaise.
I'm a Hellman's mayonnaise guy. Out west, that would be best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Some white meat turkey. Instead of lettuce, spinach.
Ooh.
Cranberry sauce.
Oh, of course. I mean, okay. If there's leftover dressing here, I've seen the kids pile dressing on the turkey sandwiches.
But that's my next day turkey sandwich.
You know what? Something I'm actively salivating again. I'm thinking one of those is I'm thinking one of those is going to be so good in the middle of the Alabama Auburn game.
Yeah, I'm telling you, delish.
Without a doubt. And the other thing, I joke about the bleached bones and everything, but when everything's been picked clean, I do something else. I've got a great big stock pot, and I reserve some of the broth, and I put some of the broth and water and some onions, garlic, you know, the Holy Trinity, carrots, celery, and then put that whole turkey carcass in the big stock pot and just simmer it for hours and hours and hours. And then take the little pickings and clippings and everything and put that in there, and then I add lentils and some potatoes and make what I refer to as turkey carcass soup.
Oh, okay, cool.
Oh, it's good. It is mighty good.
Yeah. I don't know if you ever seen the Food Channel. And this is, I think...
I used to have it. I don't have it anymore. They took that away when they took away MSNBC.
Oh, wow.
Bastards.
I feel bad. But you ever heard of a turducken?
Oh, I know about it. Yes, I not had it, but I know about it. I saw John Madden carve into one of those things every Thanksgiving for like 20 years.
Oh gosh, that's like a heart attack waiting to happen.
Yeah, it's a turkey with a duck stuffed in it, and stuffed inside the duck is a chicken, and there's three legs on either side.
Yeah.
It's heinous.
Like a mutated turkey.
Yeah.
Oh wow. But it'll be interesting to have, though.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there's a company out there that specializes in them. I think you can order them on the internet.
Yeah.
And they arrive to you, you know, rock solid frozen in 3 days, and into the oven it goes. And
yeah,
yeah, you've started a turducken issue inside the chat room. So. Yeah. Hey, Kevin, I got a few stacked up. I got to roll along, brother. But don't be a stranger, okay?
Okay, happy Thanksgiving. If I don't get to you tomorrow, tomorrow's probably going to be a busy night for me.
Yeah, I got a feeling it'll be busy for me, except for the show, but I understand completely. You have a happy Thanksgiving there as well.
Okay, brother.
All right.
God bless.
You too.
Bye.
See you, Kevin. Bye. From Brooklyn, that is Kevin, and we roll along. Okay, no, maybe not. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, buddy, go.
Hey, what's up, Chris?
Hey, long time no talk.
It has been a long time. I heard your voice, and I figured that had to be you because I saw you in the chat room.
Yep, I'm making a comeback. It's been a long time. Had a computer offline for a long time and got back online and finally fed up with the news, so I'm back.
I know how that goes. You doing all right?
Yeah, health is... 70, 60, 40, I guess. So,
how's the family?
Oh, doing great. Doing great. Kid is A's and B's and playing in the marching band and wonderful, growing like a weed.
Yeah, Al Wilson?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, she's doing good. I started the Manson Report back up the other day.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And, the first post, was entitled "Back to the Future."
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Now, see, when I was doing it before, for those couple years or whatever I was doing it, I didn't have someone like Beck. I just had Bush, and now I've got Beck.
And that may be twice as much fun.
Yeah. And the next one, this is a story. I imagine you read it about the Catholic diocese of Wilmington. Is going to court to avoid paying retirement benefits for these pedophile priests. But they want, and they are seeking authorization, to provide pensions, housing costs, and medical coverage to 6 confirmed child abusers.
No, I did not see that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I thought, you know, I'm gonna start the Manson Report back up. In honor of you, I thought about calling it the Bucket of Lie Report.
Yeah.
But I thought I would stick back to the Manson
Report. Yeah, I think Manson Report works better.
Yeah, it's got the archive there. But yeah, they don't want to pay them, you know, for forever. But they want to provide them. Yeah. Our old friends. The Catholics, you know.
Well, you know, what they did to Patrick Kennedy, I don't know if you saw this or not, Chris, but what they did to Patrick Kennedy was absolutely repulsive. They have refused the sacrament. The Diocese of Rhode Island has refused the sacrament to Patrick Kennedy. He doesn't get to eat Jesus meat. You know, the magic cracker that turns into Jesus meat in your belly? Right.
Yeah.
Patrick Kennedy doesn't get to have that. Because of how he voted in representing people who were Catholic, people who weren't Catholic, people who were atheist, Protestant, what have you. In other words, he acted on behalf of all of his constituents instead of the narrow bigotries of the ultra-conservative wing of the Roman Catholic Church. So they said, no magic cracker for you. Why not just go all the way and get the candles out and do the full excommunication and all of that stuff so that Patrick Kennedy can look up and go, yeah, and you know what my hand is doing right now. Yeah. At the guy in the lace dress in Providence.
There's another great thing you can do on blogs now. You can embed video.
Yes. Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And I've got the first video that I embedded since I've been back is entitled The State of the Union, Molly Ivins.
Ooh.
And it's really good. Of course it's good. What am I saying? But, I've been going all over the web and all these places where you can get lectures by different people and conversations and everything. And I found out on Molly, and oh my goodness, it is so funny. Oh my goodness, she was great.
There are a few people out there that a day doesn't go by that you don't realize what a paupered world we live in without their presence. Molly Ivins is one. Paul Wellstone is another.
Absolutely, that's a name that needs to be said all the time. I put a poll on my page, and only one person has voted on it. So I'll ask you, and everybody else can make their own decision. How far has Obama gone to the center? To the center line, to the right side, just to the left side, kind of difficult to tell.
From my vantage point, Chris, I hate to say it, but it's because I say this aware that the right wing, he's a leftist, socialist, Marxist, commie, pinko. I see no evidence for any of that. I would say that if anything, he's got a little bit right of center. Because he's certain, what do you say about a guy, come on, maybe you didn't see this, but what do you say about a guy who, for the love of God, appoints Dana Perino to the Broadcasting Board of Governors when the woman doesn't know a microphone from a turntable?
Yep. Well, it's the old saying. He's doing just what everybody else does. They want a second term.
And that's when they're going to get the real work done.
Yeah, wouldn't it be refreshing for one person just to go, well, you know what? I don't care if I do have a second term. Of course, nobody's going to elect anybody that says that. But,
I know.
The name of Dennis Kucinich just rolls through the head.
Yeah. And, well, your own congressman, yeah. Voted against the health care bill.
Oh, my state. Oh, let's tell everybody my state.
Oh, no, me and, for those of you who don't, Chris and I are homies.
Yeah, we're homies.
Yeah, we both come from the shoals. And.
The shoals of Alabama. But, a long time ago, back before the show was on the internet. Not before the internet, but I am, and very proud of it. Bob made me an honorary West Virginian.
That is true. That is true.
I am very proud of that.
And I haven't heard from you in forever. And in fact, I think I'm responsible for this phone call because I was actually thinking about you a few days ago.
Hey. I'm very proud of being an honorary West Virginian.
Well, you're part of the fight. You're part of the struggle here. And we got a big deal going down on December the 7th, Chris.
Yeah, I've read about that.
A huge protest/rally at the West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection. And if everything works out and the planets align and everything, every word of it will be available live right here on the Horn. I hadn't even mentioned that yet. Thank you for giving me that opportunity.
Yeah, I'm gonna put I'll put the Manson report address in the chat room, and I'll put my interview blog address in the chat room. For those of you that may not know, I did an interview with Judy Bond several years ago.
Yes.
And for the searches I've done, I'm not saying that I'm anything wonderful or anything, but it's the one interview that I've read where I actually let Judy say what everything that she wanted to say.
And she has a lot to say. And there's a lot that needs saying.
She certainly has a lot. I let her say whatever she wanted to say. And she just rants and raves, and everything she says is a solid gold fact. And I have the most admiration you can possibly have for this lady. And it was an honor. It was an honor interviewing her.
No, I'm pretty sure she'll be speaking on December the 7th.
Oh, yeah. I'm very proud of it.
Bobby Kennedy is coming.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm told. Hope I'm not letting the cat out of
there. There is somebody.
We're looking for a bit, because, you know, the fact of the matter is, the reason we're doing it at the West Virginia Department of Environmental Permitting, yeah, because they ain't protecting squat, is because they're not doing their job. And frankly, the EPA needs to rescind the power delegated to the WVDEP, to issue permits under the Clean Water Act. And the EPA has that power. And now they just have to be sort of driven to it.
Enough of that.
Well, yeah, I mean, nice work if you can get it, I suppose. Sit around, draw your breath, draw your pay, watch, you know, actively participate in the poisoning of your fellow citizens of your beloved state. Wow.
How many years ago was it when the Environmental Protection Agency had to move out of their building because it was completely hazardous?
Toxic. I don't remember how long, but I remember when that happened, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'll get off. I know you got people stacked up, so.
Well, Chris, it's good to hear from you, brother, and, say howdy to everybody that needs a howdy said to them from me. I sure would appreciate it.
And dear love to the Chillins and that dear sweet Agnes person.
I will tell her you called, and she will be tickled pink to hear it.
I tell you, she's a fireball.
She is. She makes it worth getting up in the morning.
I tell you what, I think she's wonderful.
All right, you take care, Chris, and our best to all of yours.
Thanks, brother.
All right, bye now.
Bye.
TheManselReport.blogspot.com from The Shoals, that's Chris Mansell. By the way, there are only a few places on Earth that begin with the. The Bronx. The Hague, the Vatican, and the Shoals. Ain't nowhere like it. Hey, welcome to the program.
Between the food porn and
hey, Gene.
Other stuff, it's like, boy, I gotta remember things now. No, I wanted to comment on the Green News.
Yes.
Way back there. You do realize, don't you, with the drywall, they're just doing that so they can set up a market so they can tell us more of that later, right?
Right, of the stuff that's not toxic, and you know,
yeah.
Right? It's an economic growth engine. That's what it is.
Of course it is. I mean, so it's just I hate the way my mind works. It's just terrible.
But you know, it's a terribly, terribly serious situation, and I know you know that.
I know it.
You know, because among other things, this drywall is in McMansions that people bought during the housing boom. That now they can't give away because the damn places are toxic, Gene.
Oh, I believe it. I swear they are.
And and people are being told to, you know, up a rope by their title insurance. The manufacturers of the stuff are saying, "Well, we're in China. Sue me."
Of course, of course. I mean, they must have thought hard to figure out every which way they could screw it. So just a little bit of personal thing regarding the insurance deal last Friday. It turned out I'm not denied, thank goodness, knock on wood. It's just delayed. So that's a good deal. So I might still get that chair. And I just got my lab work back and my anemia has improved. So that's
wonderful.
That's a little bit of good news. Oh geez, I was gonna tell you a story. And I've already told her this, so I'm not breaking any secrets. Yeah, I'm kind of a little bit PO'd with, well, I'm not really PO'd. Yesterday I was listening to the horn and I was talking to my friend in the UK, and I was looking to get a picture of her for the address card I'm making. And so I picked this picture and she looked at the picture and says, "You're not going to use that one, are you?" And I meant to type, like, "Just you're beautiful, what's wrong?" And then said, or "You're beautiful," or something, and I ended up typing, "You're better." It's like, and then my dork alarm went off and said, "Better than what, Gene?" in that falsetto voice. It's like, oh crap. Alert condition brown. So I really.
Yeah, sweat condition alpha.
Yeah, so it was like, okay, I'm in real life. So that doesn't rank up there with the time I typed this.
Hey, that's quick thinking.
Yeah, doesn't rank up there with the time I typed this to tip the sky, the bagpiper at the funeral, but it's close. So, just had to fill that little bit in with you. I have been running around all day, so I haven't really seen any news. What a lousy news, Ninja.
You get a day off once in a while.
That's true. I did, although, did you read the article on California and the water shortage I put up?
Yes, I did.
It's like you're grumbling because you gotta have, you know, and you're in the middle of the desert. So, boy, things are gonna get interesting. I hope no one to drink seawater or something. I don't mean to sound
flippant. Well, that's why the very concept of Las Vegas drives me crazy, Gene.
Yeah, I can believe that. So with that, I'll get off so other folks that are still stacked up behind me can say hi. Hi, folks. I'll see y'all soon, and I'll just keep in touch.
All right, take care, Gene. Glad to know the good news, and watch your typing, brother.
I will.
All right. Later. Bye. News Ninja Gene, also from Oregon. Oregon, the home of the News Ninja Academy, I should mention. It's about 12 minutes before the hour. I want to take a moment and thank folks for stepping up and helping to ensure the existence of the horn in December. It is much appreciated. We are approaching, here on the 24th of November, the halfway mark. We're approaching the halfway mark. We're not there yet for our November fundraising goal. I wish we could just do this once or twice a year and have done with it, but we can't. And, let me just reiterate, because maybe I don't say this often enough. This audience is growing. This family is growing. Because an audience, the word audience comes from the Latin word for, listen and, audio. You're not listening. You're not simply passively listening. You're actively participating. You're exchanging, dialoguing. And it's very important. But the Horn family continues to grow. And as it grows, hopefully things will become a little less dicey from month to month. So, you know, if you just tell people about the horn, if you just say, hey, you got to check this out, then that helps too. I just had an email from Guy James, and I wanted to update you. Guy sent an email, just said this and that. He said, well, I finally have internet available again. See, that's why I was able to talk about him, because I had a pretty good idea. He wasn't listening. But Guy says, well, I finally have internet available again. They've been here 3 days in a row and have dug up the cable for quite a distance down the road. I have good download speed, but upload is vacillating from 200 kbps to 2500 kbps in the blink of an eye. They're going to continue working on it tomorrow. If I had any choice other than Comcast, I would have bailed months ago. I know the feeling. I remember when Verizon was busy trying to screw this network in its infancy with a connection that was costing us a fortune that shut down every time it thundered. I'm not kidding. The guy also says he's been sicker than the proverbial dog for about 5 days with the flu, even had the flu shot, got it anyway. But Guy is trying to get back to the air. And so, you know, bless his heart, you know, cross your fingers that the Comcast folks will find what's wrong with his series of tubes. Because I miss Guy when he's not here, and I know you do too. It's about 9 minutes before the hour, and you know we've still got prayer meeting and the you know night before Thanksgiving edition of the program to do tomorrow night. So you know there'll be a little bit more time for conversation. This just in from Andy in New Jersey. He says, why aren't we taxing the Catholic Church for its constant meddling into our political discourse? And frankly, I don't know what the answer to that question is. I don't know why we're not taxing them. Because they've clearly gone outside the bounds of religion as it is established by law. And that law is established for the church's benefit and not for ours. We're going to talk a little bit probably tomorrow night about two things. Let me encourage you after the show and after Malloy or, you know, whenever's convenient for you, go and listen to, Terry Gross's Fresh Air for today. Some further revelations about the family and the whole C Street, nightmare. I won't give it away for you. I'll just tell you that your hair will be on fire and you'll be running around the room naked by the time it's over. We might discuss it some tomorrow evening. Why aren't we taxing the Catholic Church for its constant meddling into our political discourse? If we were intellectually and constitutionally honest, Andy, I think we would be. And then, separate topic, Representative Darrell Issa almost got his clock cleaned by Pat Tillman's father during a short conversation in the halls of Congress during a hearing on his son's murder. Mr. Tillman was confronted by Mr. Issa. Mr. Tillman didn't want to hear from him and told him to get out of his way. He had every right to smack him one. And then finally, did you see where Pennsylvania's Joseph Pizarczyk was appointed to the Federal Office of Surface Mining Reclamation and Enforcement Agency? He's been labeled a lackey for Big Coal, another Dana Perino-type nomination pick. And you have to ask why? No, that's the problem, Andy. I don't have to ask why. I'm sad that I know why. And so are we all. But yeah, Pizarczyk is just a pathetic industry flack. You know, one of these days we're going to have a presidential administration that will actually appoint experts in the field instead of experts in flackery and, you know, corporate hoes, as it were. But not yet. Not yet. This email from our buddy Patrick in Massachusetts. Topic, take it personal. See, Reverbo? It's catching on. He says, I have to agree with David from Maine when he says goodbye, Dems. Along with that, I have a question for you. You keep saying that the Republicans are going to die and be replaced by the Teabaggers or some other fringe group as the opposition party. Why? Let the Repigs die, but instead of a crazier right-wing party, let's get a truly liberal Democratic Party in as the second party of this two-party system. If we accept that the Repigs were successful in pushing the center so far to the right, then let the Dems take their place. We're all in agreement that the majority of the seated Dems in Washington are of the corporate stripe. Let them stay, but make them honest. They will not be the lesser of two evils anymore. Just a thought. And it's a thought with which I largely agree. But it's not something we get a choice in as to what replaces the dying Republican Party. And I simply think that the force of momentum or inertial force or whichever force it is that I understand, because I'm no good at that kind of thing, just suggests that the virulent right wing will be the death of the Republican Party. That's just the way the numbers break for me. I wish there was a more vibrant liberal party. But by the same token, I know that there are people who disagree with me, and it's a respectful disagreement. I know that the Republican Party cannot be saved. I know that it has been morally and ethically bankrupt and dead for years. You know, it's just stinking up the place at this point. But they keep fanning away the fumes of death and separation by fanning themselves with our money, you see. On the other hand, I think there is something to save inside the Democratic Party, or else a man like Dennis Kucinich would not still be in it, frankly. And with that in mind, I think that if we take the great weight of liberal activism and apply it to the Democratic Party relentlessly and remorselessly, then we have a chance at changing the party. But that's also a bunch of infrastructure stuff, and it doesn't happen. See, it's almost January. It's almost too damn late again. Because the change that you create inside the party doesn't happen in November. I know I've said this a million times before. I'll say it again. Until we put that liberal weight behind the ballot on a primary ballot in the spring, nothing changes. The laws about getting independents on ballots are so prohibitive as to make it damn near impossible. And there are 50 separate laws for 50 separate states and Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands, and the Marianas Protectorate. So you have to run primary candidates, and that is if you run primary candidates as legitimate candidates, you have a chance of actually driving the issues back toward where we want them to be. See, if this was video, you'd see me pointing left. And I personally think that that is the best strategy. So I hope that's some sort of a rational answer. And with that hopefully rational answer comes the end of the program. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Peter Godbold. Thank you, Ben Birch, the hardest working man in liberal talk, WhiteRoseSociety.org, for coming up on 8 years. WhiteRoseSociety.org has been the primary reason that liberal talk continues to survive in the media wasteland that is this country. And thanks, of course, to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and ColeRiverWind.org. You know why I call them that. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Oh, dear. Missing a knob. Well, so much for the well, howdy, and all of that stuff. It's been a day. That's all I can say. It's been a day. That Microsoft was not in jive with the real universal time. So, hi, everybody. My apologies. Sitting there blathering away. Didn't have one of the important knobs turned up. Yeah, throw the third switch. The third switch, Bob. You know, there really are about... There's this little routine of things that have to happen in order for the show to happen. And if you drop a stitch, if you knit one but you don't purl two, no show. But anyway, the clock on the wall is attuned to the decay of some radioactive isotope somewhere and monitored in Fort Collins, Colorado or something. And it really, that clock on the wall really knows what time it is, but it's at a 90-degree angle from where I'm sitting. So I guess, I'm sorry. I guess what I'm going to have to do is Ringo, George, and Paul are going to have the wonderful photograph from Billy Shears from like 1962. They're going to have to slide a little bit to the left, and Patterson, Hood, and Cooley are going to have to slide a little bit to the right to make room for the clock so I can just look up and see it, because I can't rely on Microsoft. Yes, thank you, Lottie. Cesium. Cesium is the radioactive isotope that decays that tells us what time it is. Which reminds me, I don't know if it's actually accessible, and Lottie will know in a minute that we'll have to do something to make it so. But with the Thanksgiving holiday approaching, and just a little program reminder, we won't be here Thursday or Friday because, you know, it's we gather together to eat the dry turkey, to gag on the stuffing that Bob has just made. You know, that one. But it is the Thanksgiving holiday weekend and long weekend coming. And to any of you who have not tried it, I tried it for the first time last year, and it was absolutely magnificent. If Lottie doesn't mind, we'll try to make some way or another his from-scratch recipe for the most wonderful sweet potato pie you have ever eaten in your life available. As I recall, it is... It's flavored with brandy and it's rich and this year, and you might be surprised, but there was a little controversy involved because in describing this, in an email I said, you know, and this year I'm going to use white sweet potatoes instead of the orange ones because the white ones are a little less pulpy, a little less thready. White sweet potatoes, yes, white sweet potatoes, and I imagine they are going to be absolutely beautiful. Lottie has a recipe for a magnificent sweet potato pie, and if you're going to do anything from scratch this Thanksgiving holiday, and I know most of us will do something from scratch, try this recipe. It is, oh, what a pie it is. Oh, my God, what a pie it is. And it sets up so beautiful and just... You know, it's like a cross between a custard and then the substance of the sweet potatoes. And, oh, I mean, you know, I know you got to have your pumpkin pie, and we're going to have our pumpkin pie, too. I've got two deep dish shells for Lottie's sweet potato pie, and I got two deep dish shells for pumpkin pie. And, yes, there's going to be a cheesecake. At something like 7 o'clock this morning, for a variety of reasons, I was out way before I'm supposed to even be up. I work nights, you know. But anyway, I was out and about, and I called back to the house, and Agnes answered the phone. I said, "Honey, do we still have those two boxes of graham crackers that I brought in the other day?" "Oh, no, honey, those were eaten days ago. I only brought them in days ago. They barely touched the floor." Yeah, like when you set the bags down. I don't know. It's not quite that wild around here where you just open a box of graham crackers and fling them in the door on the floor and watch the ravenous heathens just it's not quite like gremlins and feeding them after midnight, but let's not say that that there isn't at least a little bit of a resemblance. But anyway, so I called her, and, no, no, honey, those just, no, no. So I said, okay, I'm buying two more boxes of graham crackers and tell them I will personally gnaw off the thumbs of anybody I catch in them. Tell them it's, you know, leave the graham crackers alone or Daddy doesn't make cheesecake. Because our eldest and her husband and the two little pumpkins are going to be with us. And from long, long ago, somehow or another, for holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter, days that end in Y, anything is an excuse for me to make a cheesecake for our eldest. And so we're working backwards. That's the menu. It'll be Lottie's sweet potato pie, which has become a fixture, and then pumpkin pie and the cheesecake. Those are the desserts. And, you know, didn't we?